Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Happy New Year, I'm Eric Reeser. In 12 games during the regular season, Ohio State only surrendered 6 sacks. But last night in Dallas, Miami got to Julian Sain 5 times, picked him off twice, returned one of those for a touchdown as the Hurricanes bullied the Buckeyes 24-14 in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal. Ohio State rallied to make it a 3-point game in the fourth, but couldn't make a play down the stretch as Miami moves on to the Fiesta Bowl semifinal next Thursday against the winner of tonight's Sugar Bowl quarterfinal. Ole Miss takes on Georgia at 8 o'clock. It's one of 3 CFP quarterfinals on New Year's Day. At noon, Oregon takes on Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. At 4 o'clock, Alabama battles Indiana in the Rose Bowl. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets gave up 3 goals in the third period last night at Nationwide to fall to the Devils 3-2. CBJ are back on home ice Saturday against the Buffalo Sabres, Sunday against the Penguins. CBJ are expected to get Zach Werenski back for game 2 of that 3-game homestand. You can listen to Blue Jackets Sabres this weekend right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only 2 guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a reaction New Year's Day. Good Lord. It's going to be a lot of this. I don't have a whole lot prepared for this. This is not how I anticipated this show going today, certainly. It's Bo and the boys. We're going to talk for 3 hours. Feinbaum's going to join us at 10:30. He's contractually obligated to do so. I'm kidding. He's very nice to be able to do so. So we'll preview the games for today. But, of course, mostly we're going to reflect on what happened last night. And we were in the middle of the first or second segment yesterday. I can't remember which one. And I wasn't necessarily thinking about going this angle with it yesterday when we were having the discussion about the game and getting you set for it. But you started to – it's almost like it happened organically on the show. We started talking about the 0-2 season and the 0-3 game between these two teams. And it hit me probably the other day. We had the guest from the Miami Herald on, and he talked about how this is the biggest game Miami had played since that one, that they basically went 2 decades in a closet, played football for 2 decades in a closet. And that loss in the Fiesta Bowl was the beginning of the end. And it's been 20 dark years for them in terms of playing games that are largely irrelevant, and certainly none more relevant than the one that they played last night. But then as we start doing the comparison, I thought, wow, Ohio State is King Kong now. Miami was King Kong then. That Miami team was going for back-to-back national titles. Had they done it, it would have been considered one of the greatest runs in the history. It still is, but if you think about the fact, they would have basically won for 3 straight seasons. They lost the season opening game in 2000 to Washington, did not lose again all the way through 2000 and the 2000 season, all the way through the 01 season when they won the national title, all the way through the 02 season when they lost to Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl, and that ended that dynasty. But that's what was at stake for them, was that bit of history. And they got punched in the mouth by a Buckeye team that was up for the fight. And as we were going through all those parallels, it started to hit me how this was the exact same except opposite. That Miami was trying to scratch and claw back to what they once were. That it's Ohio State that's King Kong. That it's Ohio State that was going for a bit of history, trying to win back-to-back national titles for the first time in the history of the program. All of those things started rushing back. My God, it was even 17-7 in the third quarter. even that was a parallel. There were so many of them in this game. Unfortunately, for the way that this one turned out, you did not get the thrill of the end of it. Now, that would have been the agony of defeat had it played out exactly the same and you lost in overtime and you would have had some of the things. But there were even a controversial call late in this thing. It's not why Ohio State lost, obviously, but so many parallels to 03. And I guess as I'm watching the first quarter last night, it is my biggest fear about this team kind of playing out. And we talked really all season about a football Ferrari, and we've used that analogy all season. I don't know if they had one or not. I'm not sure. And I think that's fair now to question if they did or not. If they did have one, they never really ever shifted it all the way through the gearbox. They kind of just let it in cruise mode, and this is good enough to beat everybody else on the track. Until it wasn't. And then there wasn't really a place to go with it. Did they make adjustments at half? Yeah, they got more physical. They ran it up the middle. They threw slants. They threw it to the middle of the field. Was it an effective second half? Sure. But when you bury yourself 14-0 going into half, it's really hard to dig your way out of. This is a Buckeye offense last night, guys, that ran seven plays in the first quarter of the game. They ran seven plays. They didn't have a drive in the first half of football until the one right before half that ended with no points. That was the only drive they had. One drive, one sustaining drive, and it ended with no points. And then you get to the second half, and because of the way that they kind of go about their business, there was really no sense of urgency at all. And it would have been fine, but when you play that way, you have no margin for error. You have no margin for error. And so guess how many times Ohio State had the ball really in the second half? Three. They had three possessions. When they punted, it was 6 minutes left in the game, and you have to punt in that spot. And I even tweeted something like this out. Like, are you going to get it back? Are you sure you're going to get it back? Because with 6 minutes, I'm not. You basically have to have a three and out, and they couldn't get off the field. As great as the defense has played all year, the game last night was a mirror, speaking of mirrors, a mirror of the Indiana game. You dug yourself a hole, you couldn't dig your way out of it, and then you didn't have enough time. And then when it came time where you had to have a stop for a snowball's chance in hell, you couldn't get a stop. And Carson Beck, of all people, scrambled for first downs and made clutch plays when he needed to. He was not spectacular in this game. Far from it. I mean, he's 19 to 26, 138. It's 5.3 an attempt. But he didn't throw it to the other team. And the bigger stat for him was seven rushes, 23 yards. That was the difference in terms of what he did. He provided plays and made plays and didn't turn it over. And so you're sitting there watching as Ohio State decides to let them score to go up 10 in the fourth. And you're like, okay, well, that's it. It's cooked. And you're sitting there and with the boys, and they're in just bootsies and tears. And you go, I really don't know what to make of it. We're going to try to make sense of it over the next 3 hours, but the parallels to 03 were abundantly clear all afternoon as I was just thinking about the game and the lead up to it. And then maybe we were all naive thinking that we would get a different approach in the postseason, because it wasn't a different approach. It was the same approach. It was, we are going to try to win this one because we can score three times and you're only going to score twice. And that's what they tried to do. And it damn near worked, if not for a pick six and a missed field goal and all those other things. It almost worked, but it didn't. And instead, you got the Indiana game kind of all over again. Different, but kind of the same.
I mean, they just got their ass kicked last night. And we had talked about Miami not being able to chase. Well, it looks like Ohio State can't either. And I don't know if you still have some hope, I think, when Fielding misses that kick right before you go into half. Because ooh, you so think, deflating, based off of what's been done this season, that they can make the kind of adjustments to keep Reuben Bain away from Julian Sain and to maybe get the ground game going. And they certainly showed that in the third quarter, but it didn't, to me, feel like they came. They obviously didn't come out of the gate with any energy, with any kind of edge that you knew you were going to needed to have against a team like Miami, against a team with like talent that you were going to see if you were going to try to make this run to repeat. And they just didn't have any of the energy through three of the four quarters and a lot of that third. And I don't know where that comes. I don't know who you point to for that. I keep thinking last night, man, Will Howard, we could use Will Howard here, or at least Will Howard's leadership, Jack Sawyer's leadership and energy, because none of the players really brought it for a four consecutive quarter game. And like that's the first place I'll start with it. And there's still so many layers of this onion to peel back.
I think for me, kind of the story of this Ohio State football team for the last 5, 6, 7 years is, and there was a lot of it talked about a few years ago when Lou Holtz said something about Ohio State wasn't a tough team.
And last
a lot of people around here took umbrage with that. And toughness to me, all of these guys out there are tough, right? Like they're big, strong, physical guys. They're tough dudes. But toughness to me is a mindset. And Ohio State has been lacking in that mindset for a long time. I thought maybe they got over it with the run to the championship last year. But obviously from these last two games, the Indiana game and the Miami game, it's still an issue. And maybe that run to the championship last year was just a bunch of dudes that were tired of getting their ass kicked for 4 years in big games. And they said enough is enough. And they finally stood up and they played tough. They had that tough mindset and they did it. Bo, you mentioned you didn't know if we have a football Ferrari or not. We do have a football Ferrari. That's the way it's built. And unfortunately with that,
play that way.
But unfortunately with that, a lot of times, though, is that mindset, right? And then when you don't open it up and use it, you're trying to do things a different way. You're trying to shorten games because you think that's the best way. And you've had success doing it here recently. But you're not built to play games like this. And it's okay during the regular season when you're playing Purdue and Wisconsin and things like that. And shame on us, all of us, for not seeing it. And like I said, I thought maybe the championship last year got rid of that mindset. But I just feel like I don't think this is an offensive line problem. I don't think this is a defensive line problem. I don't think this is a Julian Sayin problem. I think it's just a mindset. And last year in that run, I think that senior class said enough is enough. And they went out there and they kicked ass. But that mindset isn't there normally.
Certainly wasn't there to start the game. And if that is, I think we can all agree that in the lines of scrimmage, and it's rare. AR had a great tweet about this. He said, it's rare that a pregame preconceived notion becomes the number one issue. And all we heard about in the lead up to this is that the offense and defensive line for Miami were better than the counterparts from Ohio State. And that played out. That's exactly how it played out. And they played bully ball on both lines of scrimmage when they needed to, and they made plays when they needed to. And the adjustment to try to counter that, it was too late. At 14-0, it's too late, especially when you only have three drives in the second half of a game. I mean, just think of what your margin is. You have to get touchdowns on those drives or you have no chance, and you have to get three and outs. You have to do those things. You have no chance. And it just kind of goes to the style of play. Obviously, a lot to unpack for this one. We'll continue to do so. So I think what we're going to do, yesterday in the YouTube chat, the folks are asking for basically like a two-segment hey guys thing. So we have the mailbag at 10 o'clock. That's going to be your opportunity to weigh in. So you can reach us on the X platform at 971BFS. We'll take your questions there. You can also reach us in the YouTube chat and we will answer your questions to the best we can, because there's a lot of questions to this one. Many a layer to what went wrong last night in Big D, and we're just getting started. We're off and running on a New Year's Day edition. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to find a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Next.
The girl who walks for hours to bring home the family's water. The school she can't attend most days. Her little brother's belly laugh. Her dreams of being a teacher, an engineer, the mayor. It all connects. But at Child Fund, so do we, through everything we do, so every child can grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Because we need each other. Learn more at childfund.org.
Rothman and Ice.
If I gave somebody my number and they called me, I'm out. I don't know you like that. You don't need to be calling my phone. We can text.
Rothman and Ice, weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Hello. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Probably the mostly cloudy skies are expected here for your New Year's Day with high temperatures into the 20s here this afternoon. We are looking at the chance for a few flurries, but otherwise pretty quiet conditions here for today. And then more sunshine for tomorrow with high temperatures back to the lower 30s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast. Or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
It's just the way the last two ended. I mean, the two games, they're different, but they're mirrors. They're mirrors of each other, right? The way that the Indiana game ended and the way that this one did. If you think about the way that the two second halves played out and the long drives and will you get another opportunity? And then you're banking on that defense. You got to get a three and out. The amount of pressure on that defense, you got to get a three and out. You got to get a three and out. And they couldn't. And they kept extending plays on that last drive, and that was it. You didn't get another real chance, very similar to the Indiana game where you kept hoping that you would get another chance. You just couldn't get off the field. But the problems were built much, much earlier in the game. They never really figured out, I don't think they ever really figured out who they were offensively. And in the last two games, when the talent equated on the defensive line against the offensive line, you got flat out bullied, just dominated. Indiana dominated Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And then last night in the national quarterfinal, Miami did the same. And they did it right away. Now, you adjusted in the second half. And they went back to the run game. And they got Bo Jackson going. And they started throwing some slants. And they got it out quickly. And you were able to have a little bit of success. But when you dig yourself a 14-0 hole, it's so difficult to dig out of it when the talent equates. And we saw two straight talent equate games. You guys are both right. And I think we all are. Everybody who watched the game is right. Ohio State was bullied on the two lines of scrimmage by Miami. And it felt like from Jump Street, and we said this all week, this one meant more to Miami. It did. I don't know that Ohio State was not here to suggest that Ohio State didn't want to win the game or that it wasn't their very, very best effort or that in their mind's eye, they were going to go handle their business. All of those things are true. But in terms of like off the bus, punch you in the mouth, Miami was there. They were there. Now, they had their hype men with Ray Lewis and Michael Irvin and all these Hurricane guys came back. They'd been waiting 22 years for that game, man. That's what it felt like to me. That they were ready. That first three and out that we had against after we forced the three and out on Miami, then they get the three and out on us, and they are on Julian in a millisecond, on him. And it's like, okay, this is what we signed up for, I guess. This felt exactly like Indiana. And they just bullied. And you said this, Bake, were we all fooled? Maybe. Maybe we were. Maybe we were lulled into this. Maybe we looked at the talent and you looked at what the games that were happening on a weekly basis and we thought that this team was better. I think if anything, I was guilty of thinking that they had another gear to shift to. But they didn't. They didn't have another gear, not offensively. Offensively, They had a couple of, like, what would you say that they do absolutely well other than throw the ball to Jeremiah when talent equates? Jeremiah was great in the Indiana game. He was great in the game last night. When talent equates, what else can you lean on? That, and then that's how you get into this problem. And the fact that they approached this game the way that they did in the first half is wild to me because it felt like the Indiana game all over again.
I don't know if you can lean on it, but I'd sure like to see more Bo Jackson last night. And I know they talked about there were issues with the blocking, and they showed a play where C.J. Donaldson picked up the blitzer really well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 11 carries, 5 yards a carry. I'd like to see 20 of those carries. I don't think we ever used Bo Jackson to his potential this year in the running game, just giving him 20, 25 carries and letting him go.
I am interested to see or maybe hear over the next couple of weeks the what they'd like to have back from a play calling standpoint, because that pick six, I mean, you could have put it on a sandwich board and said, we're doing this play because the nickelback read it perfectly. Jeremiah whiffed on the block. Mm-hmm. But again, if the defensive back reads the play perfectly, I don't know how much Jeremiah can do on that. But boy, was that just kind of lazy play calling it. And what you had done to get down to that point was your bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Was that Jeremiah's down there somewhere? And then to kind of follow it up with that, I was like, are we sure we're doing the right thing here, guys?
That play and the missed field goal were punch in the gut plays. On the pick six, yeah, they run that. I can't stand those plays. It's just personally, I can't stand those horizontal, throw it 20 yards to the sideline and then try to set up a something, the bubble thing. They love it. I don't like it. It's,
you can do that if you're going up tempo, I think, but
maybe, yeah, probably, but maybe like in the way that they're look, Jeremiah missed on the block and the defensive back made an all-time great read on it. He saw it coming and he busted like as soon as the snap, you've seen it 1,000 times, as soon as he busts and he's there, it's basically he's playing catch with Jeremiah or with Julian. But that play, yeah, they read it. It was scouted. They had the answers to the test. And the kid jumped it and made a hell of a play. And I had people say, well, why is Julian throwing that ball? He's not even in that type of a play. He's not reading anything. He's just slinging it over there. That's a screen. Like, that's not a read. That's just get it and throw it. That's all that is.
He also had someone coming straight up the gut at him, and he really didn't have any time. He barely got the throw off in the first place.
And it's the fastest throw you can make. It's a receiver screen.
And if you look...
it's out of his hand in less than a second.
And if you look downfield, Ohio State had that play blocked well because Miami did what they did. They saw it was coming, and they went after it. If somehow that pass gets through and Jeremiah catches it, it's probably a big play. But unfortunately, it seemed like Miami, as you said, had the answer to the test on that one.
Yeah, and then you get to a point where, and we said this yesterday in the three things, like you can't have drives that end with nothing. And it's a 49-yard field goal. And by college standards, that's a long field goal. By NFL standards, it's a chip shot. But there wasn't anybody. And this isn't – look, like it's professional sports now. I mean, everyone's getting compensated. That's a kick that if it goes in – excuse me. If it goes in, it's 14-3. You get a drive out of half, it's 14-10, and now a touchdown, and you have the lead. And it's not even just the 3 points that are critical. It's how deflating having a drive go that long and come up with zero, what that is. So now you walk into halftime just getting punched in the gut again. So those two plays, if the one isn't read perfectly, if Jeremiah doesn't miss the block, if that just ends up in an incomplete pass or a gain of 3, the game's different. And I think if Jaden Fielding hits a 49-yard field goal, the game's different. Just from a mentality standpoint, it's a little different. But both of those things didn't happen.
I think you're right on the field goal. But the thing that drives me nuts about that is you obviously did not have faith in your field goal kicker. You said coming into the week, which I don't know why it was ever said, but you said, hey, Jaden's the field goal kicker to start, but Jackson's been kicking a lot in practice. So you never know. So you already told everyone, including your field goal kicker, that you had no faith in him. Why is the play calling in that drive not different to try to get down the field faster, to try to get at least a closer shot than a 49-yard. You proved later in the game you don't even have faith in your kicker to hit like a 35-yarder, let alone a 50-yarder. So why wasn't the play calling different to get you down the field faster? Why wasn't there more urgency there?
There hasn't been urgency all year in these situations.
And I know they said it was
not how they've approached it
by design in the regular season. And I get because you're in year two of this 12-teamer where you're still trying to figure out the best approach from a regular season to a postseason that takes two damn months. Yeah. And I know that's still trying. You're flying up the seat of your pants trying to figure out the right way to approach things.
Yeah.
I would say this past season ain't it.
No, I don't think it is either. I agree with you. I think that when you play, I think the overarching sense of this is they knew they had an elite defense. They knew that if they scored 27-ish every time out, that would be enough. And there was just really not a sense of urgency all season long. And the thing that we never knew until it was too late is how long did we have to go until this team trailed in the second half of a game? The Big Ten championship?
Yeah.
I mean, they never trailed. They never had to face adversity. They didn't know what it was like to get punched in the mouth until they did, and then it was too late. So there's a billion things that you could point to on that, whether that's the schedule, the league, whatever. But they didn't. They didn't get punched in the mouth until it was too late, and then when they did, they didn't know what to do about it. And that's how you end up ending the season with two losses. Ryan Day had a post-game press conference last night. You'll hear some of that. And if the long layoff did contribute to the sluggish start, that's in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
Sup, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Well, Ryan Day addressed a lot of the things that we've talked about here over the first half hour of the program. We'll continue to talk about over the next 2.5 hours. Let's start with Coach Day from last night. This is now 0-5 for teams with first-round byes in the college football playoff. They now have dropped to 0-5. Three more today, obviously, and they switched the format up, so we'll see if it continues. But it'd be curious to see as the day goes along how those teams that had byes play today. Here is Ryan Day, was asked if the bye week and the time off contributed to the slow start.
Well, I felt like it took us a while to get into the rhythm of the game. I thought we did coming out of the second half, and by then it was going to take a very, very efficient second half to win the game, being down 14-0. But I felt like at that point we got into a rhythm, and when we had that drive there where, you know, we took a shot, it was incomplete, and the next play was a hold that got us way behind the chains, and that was the drive that we needed to go win the game. And when you have a start the way that we did, you put yourself at risk of having to be really darn near perfect in the second half to go win a game. So we put ourselves behind the eight ball. We worked really hard during the last 3 weeks leading up to this game to come out of the gates and win the first quarter, win the first half, be ready to go. I thought we had an excellent plan on that and what we did. I think the guys bought into it, but at the end of the day, we didn't get it done. And that starts with me, and it goes down from there. So You know, I take responsibility for not getting the guys ready, you know, and you know, as you know, we spent an inordinate amount of time putting the plan together to get everybody ready to go play in that first half, and we didn't win the first half. So, you know, we got to figure out why that was and learn from it moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. Coach had a and I can't stand these things. They're so uncomfortable for me. They had those where the reporters are asking one question of the coach like right before kickoff, or they'll do it like, I mean, they interviewed Ryan like going into the fourth quarter. She had like one question for him. I'm like, dude, this is not necessary. I don't need this now. Like, just do your job. Don't worry about all those things. But there was, as I say that, there was an interesting bit of information that came from the pregame interview with Ryan, where he said to something to the effect of, I don't know exactly what it was, but something to the effect of, get on there, trade some blows, get to half, make some adjustments, and go win the game. Like, he said something to that effect. And that he said that before. He said that in the Indiana game. He said that before. Like, that's been kind of the mentality, is let's get to half and then let's go win it in the second half. When talent equates, that's kind of been their plan. And he alluded to that before the start of the game. And that's what it looked like. It looked like they were just get to half and we'll adjust. But the problem is, when you, I don't care what level of football you're in, when you dig a two score hole and you play at the tempo that they choose to play at, your margin for error is not there. They had three real possessions in the second half of this game. Three. You had to score on all of them to win. And you had to score on touchdowns on two of them to win. I mean, that's coming out of half. That's what's known. If you're going to play that way, you have three possessions. They all have to end in touchdowns. Minimum of two. So it's a little bit in the mindset, and it's really what they've been all season long. I mean, this is kind of how they've played it. They haven't been pedal to metal, let's go, bombs over Baghdad, let's go lit. That's not what it's been all year. It hasn't been. It's been what we saw last night, which was kind of a feeling out and then get to half and then bury them. And when you play so many games where the talent doesn't equate in any way, shape, or form, you can get away with it. When you play games where talent does equate, you can't. And we saw that the last two times.
So of the many questions that'll be asked where this Ohio State team goes from here, do you look at the offensive coordinator spot, now vacant officially with Ohio State's season being over, as hiring somebody that it's not going to have to recruit, that it's not going to have to worry about developing a position, that just calls plays during a game, comes into a game with an offensive play, with an offensive plan, and runs that plan? Because the idea that the two of the last three Cotton Bowls, Ryan Day's been the play caller, and they've been duds.
I don't think that's it, because if it was just simply that, Chip Kelly'd probably be back. But I think there was more than that. Like, they wanted an offensive coordinator to go. Again, I don't know. I'm just, it sure seems that way. I think it's interesting that Ryan there said, we've really worked really hard for 3 weeks to win the beginning of the game. It sure didn't look like that. And
no.
He was asked there about the buys in the layoff. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give a lot of credence to that, because I don't think that's fair to Miami. And the fact that Miami just came out last night and kicked Ohio State's tail in. I will
Agreed.
Say, though, I am very interested to see how these games go today. Because five games, and it's all happened where the team that had the buy in this thing lost. And I don't think it's a layoff thing as far as the amount of time for either team. It may just be a team that played last week against a team that didn't. A team that had a chance to knock the rust off against a team that didn't. But again, I don't want to give... I don't want that to be to the narrative of this game, because Miami just came out and did what they were supposed to do, were physical, punched Ohio State in the mouth, and won the game. I am interested, though, to see how it goes today.
No, and I don't, it's not an excuse. The better team won last night. They were better. They were more physical. They were better. They deserve to win in every way. The layoff thing is real. I mean, that's 100% real. That is basically, if you think about it, that is that's training camp all over again. 25 days. Like, you go from playing every week to training camp. And by the way, there's a million things that are going on, and everybody has these distractions. right? You've got National Signing Day, you got Portal, you got all these things that are happening behind the scenes. Like, everybody's doing it right now, so that there's no excuse to be had here. Miami won. They absolutely won. One of the things that I assume this team would be able to do offensively is shift into fifth and go. That did not happen. And Ryan was asked about that in terms of an ability. Go ahead.
No, I don't think so. I think you saw us play with a little bit of tempo today. But, you know, when you're not getting first downs early on, you know, you got to make sure you're getting into the right plays and doing what you need to do to get first downs. And, you know, I think that some of that stuff did give us a little bit of juice in the second half when we needed to. I thought that gave us an advantage at times in the game. But it wasn't done near good enough. So all things that we'll make sure we look at. You know.
Yeah, I think once we, and this will be a conversation over the next month too. I mean, we're in the reactionary phase of this right now and trying to make sense of it. But I do think as you deal with a portal, as you deal with roster retention, as you say, what are the things that we need going in? I mean, you have to hire a new coordinator, like all of those. By the way, it seems like they probably know who they're going to hire on that front. Otherwise, I feel it's the chip thing is interesting to me. It kind of leads me to believe that they already have their guy that they know that's going to take that job. The fact that Chip went to Northwestern, so that was interesting to me. But in terms of how a team is built, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation for them to have. And that's a conversation for Ryan and Mark Pantone and everybody up there who goes into roster building, all the coaches, all that staff. But this, they did not play the way that I thought this team was built. Really all year. They didn't. I thought that this would be a spin it all over the field, up and down we go team, and I thought that they could shift into it at any point. I didn't know if they would yesterday, but I thought that they had that trump card in their hand, and they never laid it down. So whether they didn't trust to lay it down or they, I don't know. I can't tell you why they didn't, or if they, maybe they didn't have it. Maybe that gear wasn't there, or they didn't have confidence in that gear. But they rarely ran tempo. They rarely were any sort of hurry. I mean, even Ryan in that first comment where he's talking about when you have to have a perfect second half, you're only down 14 to nothing. If you get stops and you have a little bit of pace of your work, you should get at least four real chances with the ball. I know technically they had four, but the last possession isn't that's not real. That's game's over. Like the last interception, who cares? I mean, that's game's over. It's 24-14. Game's over at that point. A minute left, one timeout, down 10, you're done. They only had three real possessions in the second half. So when you play the way that they chose to play, that's part of it. And the other thing that's part of it is you get absolutely bullied on the offensive line. And they did the last two times out. You're going to hear from Ryan on that in terms of the amount of sacks they gave up. Take a look at the rest of the sports world last night as well. It's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. All the
folks at Butler. I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Some journeys start small. A small pause and big purpose.
Look how cute you fly, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Like a girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we.
brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Enough already.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, I mean, it starts up front. And if you think about the fact that this team gave up 6 sacks through 12 games in the regular season. They gave up 5 against Indiana, 5 against Miami. Miami also had a tackle for loss. 2 picks. The one, obviously, was the one that really mattered on the screen that didn't go and didn't work, that ended up being a pick 6. So deflating. But this was bully ball is what it was. It was bully ball in every sense of the way. And it was a defensive line. This was really that first possession. The first possession is when you went, oh, you're going to have a little problem here. And the one thing that Miami doesn't do is they don't really rotate their D line. So that's again where I was back with. If you have a little bit of tempo here, maybe they get tired. But you have to get first downs to be able to do that. And they couldn't. They were behind the sticks for much of the first half. Here was Ryan when asked about giving up the amount of sacks they gave up the last 2 games.
Yeah, it's hard to just say one thing. You know, we tried to help out. I mean, they have a very good front. And, you know, we felt like it was a little bit of a different scheme than what we dealt with the week before against Indiana. Indiana was a lot of pressure, a lot of movement, a lot of twisting and things. This was a bigger group of guys who are, you know, hard charging, you know, front. So, you know, we went in with a certain plan. And, you know, you can tell right from that first third down that, you know, we had a hard time. And, you know, being on silent, you know, we didn't quite get off the ball on that one. And that caused the first sack and kind of went from there. But I do think there was a point where we got it under control and we were moving the ball pretty good. And, you know, but, and certainly the play that, you know, Scott made there on the pick 6 was a huge part of the game. You know, he triggered and hit that thing. And we didn't quite execute it right in terms of, you know, what was going on in the perimeter. I think Julian's decision to throw it, you know, was the right thing to do at the time. But, you know, he made a heck of a play, and that early in the game certainly flipped the scoreboard fast and put us in a hole. And, you know, and then, you know, at that point, you know, you got to fight yourself out of it. And we weren't able to do that. So, you know, we wanted to be aggressive. We felt like we did have an advantage downfield in the passing game. And so that was the give and take of it was, you know, we wanted, you know, I think, yeah, Jeremiah ended up with 157 downfield. We felt like we could do that, and we were going to be aggressive, but we also knew the give and take of it, and so that was part of what we were working through. And at the end of the day, it didn't work.
Look, sacks aren't always the worst thing. You can take sacks as long as you have plays over the top that counter them. I mean, the Browns sacked Drake May a ton of times, and they still lost by multiple scores because Drake May stood in there, took the sacks, but made plays down the field. So sacks aren't the worst. You can take them. But this was bullying, and the idea, you heard him there on the screen, by the way, and I that's what I was saying. A lot of people were talking about how it was the worst throw, and I'm like, that's not a throw that Julian thinks. That's a throw that you get the ball in your hands and you spin it to the perimeter as fast as you can because you trust that it's set up out there. And the kid made a great play. And Jeremiah, if he gets a hand on him, it's probably not picked. It's probably tipped, but he doesn't. He misses. The kid made a great play and he read it perfectly. The one thing that was a little troubling to me in that answer there was the idea that what he said there was the twisting that Indiana was doing allowed for. So that's schematic. But that's not what Miami did. What Miami did is Miami just bulldozed you. They just consistently collapsed the pocket. And the amount of times that free rushers were at Julian's feet in under 2 seconds was stunning. Was stunning. And I've seen it. I've seen like the screen caps of plays that were open down the field. Okay, but what's happening in the moment at his feet? And I think over the Indiana game and in the game against Miami last night, I think that he started to see the rush a little bit. I think his eyes dropped to it a little bit because it wasn't something he was used to. He hadn't been touched. The ball was out so quick. It was a video game simulation. He's allergic to inaccuracy and all of the things that we've talked about all season long. But all of a sudden, now he's got noise at his feet. He's got noise around his arms. He's having to step up. I would like to have seen him tuck it a couple of times because I thought there were plays he could have made running. And he's willing to do that. We saw that in the Michigan game. He's willing to tuck it and run, but just didn't in this game last night. And to me, I think the overwhelming theme is that they really believed that kind of, you've used the Washington game plan. You used that game a lot, Bake, in the lead up to this. They kind of felt like that'd be enough. That you could kind of massage a win against Miami. And look, we were all, I think we had this read pretty right, guys. We all, Reese, you picked it 17-7. I picked it 24-10. You picked it, what, 24-14 or 27-14, Bake?
27-10.
We're all in that's the style that they wanted to play. Ohio State wanted to play that style of game. They wanted to win 24-14. And just on to the next and survive in advance. And that's been kind of the mode for this team all season long. And that's what they were last night. There was no shift.
Hard to do when it's the one game season when you,
yeah.
And I don't know about the scheduling and how much that goes into it for a regular season standpoint. Cause you had your Daytona 500 at the beginning and then you just, week to week, it was, you know, get through it, get to the fourth quarter,
yeah,
get to the end of the game. And now, you know, in two consecutive games in the Big Ten championship and in the game last night against Miami, you're looking at not a win or go home situation necessarily in the Big Ten championship, but you win, you don't advance your season. You don't advance to be Big Ten champions. Last night, you don't advance into the college football semifinal. And so the mindset can't be the same. And, you know, when we'd heard from Ryan Day earlier in the hour, it was like the mindset felt the same. Mm-hmm. And how you look with 20 plus days at a Miami team that is not the same, you can't have the same mindset. You can also have a great plan, still get punched in the mouth and not respond. And uncharacteristically for Ohio State's silver bullets, just missed tackles, his arm tackles, and just not being able to attack at the line of scrimmage. You saw a very uncharacteristic performance from the Silver Bullets relative to what we had seen from the season. Because in that Indiana game, the Hoosiers went in scoring about 44.5 points per. That was their average. They held them to 13.
Yeah, they held Miami to 17 here, so, which still would have been their highest point total that they'd given up all year. It was the money downs, though. It's the last drive where you got to get off the field, and you couldn't get them off the field. Guys, think about this, the amount of slide. This is football, though, right? We went over the Julian play on the on the screen, the receiver screen, where you just catch it and sling it and all the things that didn't allow for that to happen the way. How about Caleb Downs smoking Malachi Toney and the ball bouncing a football
twice,
bouncing on the ground twice and like a basketball back up into his gut? It's a one in a million play.
And it happened twice in that game. Toney two times lost the ball and it bounced right back into his gut.
And if either of those.
Bo, you mentioned the money down plays, right? Like that last drive and then Miami 7-14 on third down. This goes back to my mindset thing. Those are plays when it's just will. And you've got to want it more. You have got to say, I don't care who this guy is across from me. I am knocking them in the dirt, and I am getting what I need. This is what I thought we were over with the national championship run last year. But again, obviously, to me, I think it's still an issue.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be an issue as you're going to have to deal with it all off season. I mean, it's all anyone's going to talk about is these two games. And this is going to be a very interesting next few days. It's going to be a very interesting transfer portal. It's going to be very interesting in terms of how they put a roster together. You're losing super duper stars. I mean, Downs, Styles, Reese, all gone, all of that. Tate gone. Like this is going to be a very fascinating offseason for this program. We'll get to it with you coming up next. You can reach us in the YouTube chat, also on the X platform at 971 BFS. We'll answer your questions in the mailbag coming up next. Second hour, Paul Feinbaum at 10:30. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep. And you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Testing live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Ohio State season came to an end last night in Dallas. The Miami Hurricanes bullied the Buckeyes en route to a 24-14 win in the Cotton Bowl quarterfinal. The U moves on to the Fiesta Bowl semifinal. They'll play the winner of tonight's Sugar Bowl between Georgia and Ole Miss. That's one of three quarterfinals on Thursday. Orange Bowl goes first at noon. Texas Tech takes on Oregon in Miami. At 4 o'clock in rainy Pasadena, Indiana battles Alabama. In college hoops, the 19th-ranked Ohio State women's squad improved to 12-2 overall, 2-1 in Big Ten play. With an 83-56 win at Purdue yesterday, Buckeyes will host Rutgers on Sunday. While the Ohio State men's squad will play at Rutgers tomorrow night at 8. It's a Peacock-only game. You can hear it right here on The Fan with coverage at 7. And in the NHL, the Blue Jackets lost to the Devils 3-2 last night at Nationwide. CBJ will host the Sabres on Saturday. Zach Werenski is expected back for that game, which you can hear right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
You say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Some breaking news on the Buckeye sides of thing. This from Bruce Feldman. Former LSU wide receiver coach Cortez Hankin is expected to become the new wide receivers coach at Ohio State. The 44-year-old had previously coached wide receivers at Georgia and Vandy. Played in the league from 03 to 08 with Jacksonville for most of that time, and then with Minnesota and with Tampa Bay. His coaching career starts at Dartmouth, but this is the part that's interesting. Starting in 2018, he's the wide receivers coach at Georgia. He's at Georgia through the 2021 season. Then the last 3 years, since 2022, he has been at LSU as pass game coordinator and co-offensive coordinator, that per Bruce Feldman. So that would be the replacement for Brian Hartline. I'm curious. I mean, he's been a co-offensive coordinator before. He was that last year at LSU. I'm curious if Ryan will go back to full play calling, or if there will, or if he's going to trust Hankton perhaps to do that. I'm not sure if he did that at LSU or not last season, but that hire, according to Bruce Feldman, is in the works. And these are going to come fast and furious, guys. Like, you're going to get coaching hires. The portal thing is going to be nuts. Over the next week or so, you're going to see a flood of names that go into it. Who knows from here? You know, who goes in and tests the water, who doesn't? All of those conversations are happening now, I'm sure. Before we get to the mailbag, and you can do so in the YouTube chat or on the X platform at 971BFS, we can ask those questions for you. Before I get to that, I don't know how I feel about New Year's Eve games.
Well,
it's a well, especially when it doesn't go your way. Like, sucks.
I know I feel.
It's kind of sucks.
Ban them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love doing a college football, any type of meaningful college football game on New Year's Eve. Like, I did like how the Cheez-It Bowl and the Las Vegas Bowl all kind of ended before 5 p.m. or around 5 o'clock. Like, that feels like a good time to do that and then have no college football the rest of the day and then just shove it in our face New Year's Day.
Yeah, I think it would have been better had you done the three games today and you played a game tomorrow night. But just think, like, if you'd have won the think about
Friday's a desert.
Friday's nothing. I'm guessing they didn't do it because they didn't want an even shorter week for those teams that are these teams are playing next week. Like, Miami's playing Thursday. They basically have a 24-hour head start on Georgia. Is what they're going to get. I mean, it's a pretty massive advantage for the winner last night. That you'll play out in Phoenix, but you're going to have a full day extra to prepare. So, yeah, I don't know that I'm crazy about it either. Let's open up the mailbag and answer some questions, kids.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in.
Bishop and Friends present emails.
And we resolved to get the email bag fixed in 2026. We resolved to get that fixed. So we'll do it today via the X platform and via the YouTube chat. This one from Matt, Wolfman Matt, loyal. Happy New Year to you, my friend. He writes, do you guys think that Ohio State should go back to more of a quick, almost air raid style of offense like when CJ was here? Do you think the slow, plodding pace was a reaction to the Michigan-Georgia games in that era? I think it's all in play, and I thought that's what they would be this year. I really thought that this would be the CJ Stroud Ohio State offense. I thought that's what it would be. And I think all season they were playing this long game, Ryan was, of limited amount of plays. We needed everybody healthy for 16 games, and everybody was healthy. So in that sense, maybe it worked, but there also was never offensively a sense of urgency for this team. They did not know how to play when they trailed. They did not know how to chase. We said that about yesterday about Miami when we were doing the three things, like make them chase you. Carson Beck will throw it to you. It was the opposite. It was Ohio State that had to chase. It was Ohio State that had the turnovers. And this was a team that didn't have to chase much all season. And in the Indiana game and in the game last night, they weren't comfortable doing so.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it's the day after, right? You're overreacting to an 11. I don't know what the coaching... Now the Cortez Hankin comes in. Keenan Bailey was in the booth last night. I wonder how that works, but I don't know if the coaching staff's going to do too much in terms of changing from what they did this past season in the lead up to the college football playoff. Because you'd think Ohio State's top two next season.
I don't know. We got to get through the portal to even know.
Sure.
I think the thing that is. If you're going to play, if you want to play this way, if you want to take the air out of the ball, sort of, and you want to have a limited amount of plays, then to me, you need a quarterback who will put his nose down and run. And I think Julian will do that. We saw him do it in the Michigan game, but that's also not who he is. He's Drew Brees, is who he is. So, like, you recruited him, you built the offense around him, play to his skill set versus, but the way that they're playing, the margin for error just isn't there, and you almost need to have a quarterback who's willing to put his nose down a little bit the way Will did last year.
So they probably should, the way this team is built, the way they're building with wide receivers and quarterback and those kind of things, they probably should open it up. I don't think they switched this because of Michigan and because of Georgia. I think they switched this because of the college football playoff. And I think we heard it last year before the season even started. They talked about 16 games, 16 games, 16 games, and they ran this offense all the way through last year, and they've done it again this year. I don't know if they will change, but if you're going to keep building through wide receivers and quarterbacks, you probably should.
Yeah. I got this one on social from Keith. For all the people that said they'd rather have a Michigan win than a national championship, how do you feel today?
Bad today.
That's better. A conversation that we have around here a lot. What would you rather have, a win against Michigan or win the national title? Right? And we want it all because we're greedy. You want all of it. You want to be able to do all of it. But if you have to pick one or the other... You just lived it. We just lived it in back-to-back years. Which do you prefer? Last year, lose to Michigan, win the Natty. This year, beat Michigan, lose. This is the conversation we're going to be having over the next various times over the next month. Like, how do you, as we try to put this team to bed, we'll probably do it on Monday. Like, how do you view this season now?
It's such an interesting question because as I've said before, last year during the regular season was hell. It was maybe one of the least fun seasons of a Buckeye fan as I've had, because even when they were winning games, you felt like they were underperforming.
Yeah.
Maybe their best game of the year was their loss to Oregon in the way they played. That was just such a classic game. But then that four-game playoff run was awesome. Most of this regular season, while you thought there could have been more left on the bone, they were winning and you knew they were doing it for this point. right now, this is hell. This sucks right now.
Yeah.
But last year, the whole season, I hated for the most part until the end.
I think because you had lost four in a row to Michigan, like in just a, in a regular year where you're not in that kind of a slump in the rivalry, yeah. I think you'd rather have the national championship over a Michigan win. But this was because you had lost four straight. That I think a lot would rather take the Michigan game or Michigan win over a national championship in the 2024 season that ends in 2025. Today sucks.
Yeah.
In a month, I think people will have different answers to that exact question.
Yeah, it's right now.
On February 1st, we'll revisit it. Right.
Right now, I'd still like to play next week. I'd like one more game. You know, you get greedy. Give me one more. I think as you, that's the thing that's going to be the takeaway here is for this team and what they were attempting to do, they had a plan. They were convicted in the plan, and the plan very simply all season long was this defense is so good that if the offense scores in the 20s, we'll win. And the reality is that plan would have worked last night if you don't turn the ball over. If a couple of those times the ball hits the ground, you get them. If you make kicks. But when you play that way and the talent equates, your margin for error is gone. It's gone. And that's what, and that's two, the last two times out, you aided in eliminating the margin for error for yourself with the way you went about it.
And we've talked about this. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's such a weird concept because usually it's the less talented team that's trying to slow down the game, make it as least many possessions as possible, and really muck it up. Not the team that's more talented.
No, not. You're going to hear from some of the players, Sonny Styles, Caden Curry. Also, you get you set for today's three quarterfinal games. I don't know where my head's going to be for any of these. Feels like they'll be on in the background. I don't know if we'll be locked into any of them. We'll get to it all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Bring more parts.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed. And he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about. Realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Jackets are back at Nationwide for a battle with the Buffalo Sabres. Live fan coverage starts Saturday afternoon at 2:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies here for your New Year's Day with high temperatures into the mid-20s here for this afternoon. A few flurries are possible, but otherwise we're looking at pretty quiet conditions. And we're looking at more sunshine here for tomorrow on your Friday with highs into the lower 30s. And we'll keep the 30s in the forecast here as we head through the weekend with a mix of clouds and sunshine. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we're proudly sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Let's hear from some of the combatants. Sonny Styles, who wore that blocko about as proudly as you can and was really good. Again, he's been unbelievable. He's been the best linebacker on this team for about last month and a half, for sure. He was unbelievable in the game again last night. First time, that I will say that's the first time I've ever seen somebody literally brush him off when he hit him in the hole. Like that's when I'm like, oh, they got just one more example of they've got dudes too. And they were ready to go. And we talked about a lot of that. Miami and Ohio State recruit a lot of the same players since Cristobal's been there. Sonny available last night. He was asked about not getting off the field on that last drive.
And the kind of just got a little bit of push up front the last end, like a few C-gap runs. Took that a third down that last drive, like a little to the back on the wheel route or whatever. So had some good plays. We had some plays that we could have made. We didn't make them on that drive, and it's unfortunate. And then we get down. We don't get the third down stop on the screen, and then at that point we're just trying to let him in because, get the ball back. So we just let him in, obviously. And, just didn't make the plays when they came our way in that last drive. We had the chance to kind of prove that we were a great defense, and we didn't take advantage of the moment.
Yeah, I think they've been a great defense all season long. And it would have been long odds to get a stop and go down and score because you just hadn't seen the ability to do it. But in the Indiana game and in this game last night, when tasked with, we need a three and out, you weren't able to get one. But that, again, speaks to the no margin for error because of how all of this is being done. And when you get behind and you struggle offensively, it's a lot on the defense to be able to get stops. And in this instance, they couldn't. Caden Curry weighed in on this as well, on this inability to get off the field on third down.
I mean, obviously it sucks being we want to win on third down. We do such a good job on third down this year. And it's just little things. I mean, it all adds up. And it's a game of inches. I mean, you got to get off the field. And obviously there's so much more that could have happened in that game, but it just sucks.
It's funny, you talk to coaches and they talk about turnovers and special teams, right? Turnovers and special teams, third downs, money downs. It's all there. Like, it's all in the box score. Miami was 7-14 on third down. They completed 3 of them in the last drive. Ohio State was 3-10 on third down. Okay, well, it's it's right there for you. If you're looking for turnovers, Ohio State had 2. Miami had just the 1 on the fumble. There it is. One of them was a pick 6. There were only 2 penalties in the whole game, which I thought was amazing. They were really critical penalties for Ohio State. Miami did not commit a penalty the entire game. Not a single one. Ohio State committed the 2 that both ended up being on the same drive. The holding, which really wasn't, and then the play on the special teams, which was just a massive call, ended up being a 20-yard penalty on the repunt. And then you have a missed field goal. They made their field goal. There's the game, kids. Sometimes it is that simple.
I thought the officiating was actually pretty good last night.
So did I.
Like, they let loved it. And Ohio State's got a physical secondary, and they let them play.
Oh, my gosh. The Devin Sanchez one was clear. I mean,
well,
like, we can't complain too much.
They both were hugging each other, you could argue.
Devin Sanchez hugged him for 20 yards on that play. Like, that was, we can't complain about calls with that one.
I think when you haven't had a penalty until, what was it, the beginning of the fourth quarter?
It was late.
Accepted.
It was the last real offensive drive for Ohio State.
Yeah, and then
it was the last real offensive drive, because that's where the holding, which got them off schedule, and then the penalty on the special teams on the punt.
People were mad about the holding. I think they just called it on the wrong guy. I don't think it was Philip Daniels. I think it was Carson Hensman.
Yeah, in the middle of the field. Inside, right.
I think they just called it. Like, Bain kind of fell. Mm-hmm. And Daniels just kind of helped him down. I think they just called the wrong number on that. I think they said 70 instead of 75 because Hensman in the middle did have a guy right under his face mask on his collar. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't a lot of penalties, but gosh, that one on the punt, the offsides or the false start on the punt, that's a 20-yard penalty.
It flipped the whole game because when you're talking about, okay, Miami's pinned back, let's get a three and out. And which we had done. So we'll get the ball around midfield and we'll have some ability. Even if we don't have timeouts, we only got to go 2 minutes. That penalty forces the repunt, which gets them to an extra 20 yards. Then on their very first play, they get that gash run to the 50. And in the course of a minute of real life time and in the course of several seconds of game clock, everything flipped. The field flipped. The game flipped. Now you're on your heels. You're like, my God, now we can't let them score. You start playing a little bit different. If this one's pinned back, then your ears are pinned back and you're going at them. It's a totally different mindset, that 20 yards and what it did.
By the way, a lot of people have been really critical of the special teams at Ohio State, and that is fair, and obviously Fielding missed one.
It's been four years and they don't have a kicker.
Joe McGuire was really good last night. He had a heck of a day punting the football.
Yeah,
I think he had 45 was his average, and he had that one that would have been at the 10 taken away from him. So he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. This big boy conversation, but there was obviously no confidence in the ability to make field goals.
None.
How has that continued for as long as it has here?
I don't know, man.
All right, other schools finding kickers in the MAC that are able to get them. 48, 50 yards out. And you show it with your play calling, to Baker's earlier point, that you have no faith in having him get that. Only because you didn't have any time and you were going into half and you were getting the ball back in the second half, or you even attempting that field goal. Because I wonder if Miami was getting the ball back to start the second half.
Well,
if they just chuck it in the end zone.
Well, for sure they say
Jeremiah's down there somewhere.
Yeah, but it was also, that to Baker's earlier point, that was even strange because like their approach was like they were playing for the field goal. Like, they weren't playing.
It was like try a field goal.
And they weren't playing for a chip shot field goal.
No. It was a long one. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, everything that could go wrong kind of did. And so it is the way that it is. I don't know how I'm going to feel about this going forward, the rest of this playoff. Like, we've got three games today. The one at noon is awesome. It's awesome. I hope it lives up to the hype. I hope that it does, but it's an awesome game. It's Texas Tech at Oregon. That's noon. That should be a night game in the Orange Bowl. That should be tomorrow night. But whatever. It's at noon. 4 o'clock is Indiana, Alabama.
Monsoon in Pasadena.
I saw it was raining all day yesterday. I don't know that the Rose Bowl has ever had rain.
Parade, Bo.
You love a parade.
They were saying that all day yesterday. Now, isn't it? Like, they're trying to do it, I think.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have just flipped the noon and night game today?
Do Sugar Bowl at noon?
Yes. Georgia Ole Miss at noon and that Oregon-Texas Tech game tonight.
Yeah, that would have been the right thing to do. I think it's weird, too, because for TV, I think that would have been the right thing to do, too, unless Georgia rates by a bigger number. You know when we should have known that this thing was going to be troubling? I don't know if the listeners are aware of this. This thing went from Buckeyes by 9.5 to Buckeyes by 7.5. At kick, it was 7.5.
Oh, really?
It was 7.5 at kick. That means the Sharps came in on Miami huge at the end. Like, all the late money was on the Canes. It, 2 whole points in a day? We signed off yesterday at noon, 9.5. By kick, it was 7.5. Like, that doesn't happen. That does not happen. Go ahead, Bick.
I was just going to say, speaking of betting, did you see that Jensen Lewis, I saw him tweet this, I need to look at it more, but before the season, he predicted Indiana-Miami in the national championship game.
Oh, my God. Did he bet it?
Yeah. And it's like some crazy odds.
No kidding.
I need to pull the tweet up and look at it. But
jeez. Jay Lou. Oh, my gosh. He picked Miami, Indiana? I mean, that can absolutely happen. That Miami team can beat anybody. They can beat anybody.
I think the U's odds to win the title went from, I think they were dead last in terms of playoff teams. They're fourth now.
Okay, so this was him before the season. He predicts Indiana and Miami to meet in the college football national championship game. it was plus 2,630.
Whoa.
I have to ask J-Lew how much he put on that.
Whoa. Well, knowing him, it ain't a little amount. It's not a minimal amount, I promise you that. Wow. That's pretty wild. So full day of games today, but obviously the odd position of the Buckeyes not in it. Just real quick, do you have rooting interest in these three? Texas Tech, Oregon. Any rooting interest?
I kind of want to see Tech.
I don't. I think I'm going to lean Dan Lanning maybe, but I just want this game to be like 48-45 because I feel like it has the potential to.
Yeah. Indiana, Alabama, any Big Ten pride there?
No.
Not really.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't
it's
know
funny.
If this,
we don't have that.
I don't know if this rain play. Helps.
Might not. And then Georgia, Ole Miss. I mean, that feels like how long can
do you want to see the Carson Beck revenge game next Thursday?
I kind of do. Yeah, okay. I kind of do.
I was thinking about that the end of last night.
Yeah, I would. I guess if we're not involved, yeah, I'd like to see Carson Beck.
Because I don't
Georgia.
Care about Ole Miss anymore.
No. And I think like what's going on at Ole Miss is nuts. Like the fact that Kiffin could go to this game, like who wants six coaches on his LSU staff are coaching Ole Miss and they're tampering. Like what a absolute chaos all of that is. We'll try to make sense of that, get you set for these three games. And of course, we're going to have to eat a little bit of crow. Mr. Feinbaum will join us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your child's oral health milestones matter. By age one, see a pediatric dentist to establish good oral health habits. At seven, see an orthodontist to check your child's bite, teeth, and jaws. Around 15, visit an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to have your child's wisdom teeth examined. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit milestonesmet.org.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the Fan.
Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thank you for joining us on a very busy day for you. I am certain of that. We've been commiserating for the last 90 minutes on what happened last night down in Dallas. As you watched last night what happened down in Dallas, what are some of your thoughts, sir?
Well, I was completely shocked. I just did not expect Miami to push Ohio State around, and I'm still not sure I understand it. I'm particularly curious what you and your audience are saying, because I felt really from the Texas game on that Ohio State was the best team in the country. I didn't think anybody could come close. And the Indiana game didn't even bother me. That just shows you how committed I was. And so to say I'm sitting here in New Orleans today in a state of shock, I think I'd probably speak for everybody listening.
You do. Yeah. They played this long game with limited possessions and plays. And when you do that and you have mistakes, it come back to bite you. And I think from – I said this yesterday on our show, Ball. This was bigger for Miami than it even was for Ohio State, in that Mario, they've been playing football in a closet for 20 years down there since Ohio State beat them in the national title game in 2003. And Cristobal finally did it. I think you can say that the U is back, and their two lines of scrimmage is where it all started. That's the thing that jumped out to me, Paul. I mean, they just bullied Ohio State up front, both sides of the ball.
They did, and something about Mario Cristobal, and I've known him a long time. I mean, he has taken some major gut punches. Remember a couple of years ago when they lost to some directional school, and they lost. They literally threw a game away against Georgia Tech, and it was easy to say they were fraudulent, and I did. But this year, you took notice, especially you go back to the Notre Dame game where they bullied Notre Dame, much like they did last night. They slipped up a little bit, but people question his game management, his XO. They all say he's a great recruiter. They all say he's a great line coach. But last night, and really, you can say it now, he proved he's a total package. And I'm not quite ready to give them the title, But I know some folks in New Orleans from the, both the Georgia and Ole Miss side who were looking and saying, is this good for us? And I'm not sure it is, quite frankly.
No, I don't know if it is either. I think their two lines of scrimmage are pretty remarkable. And Carson Beck, who in big games, he's got a good big game record, but I went through it, and there's a lot of them where he'll throw it to the other team. He did that certainly when he was at Georgia. He did it in the two losses this year for Miami. He was pretty clutch last night, Paul. Even showed an ability to run with it. The idea, if it plays out the way that the seeding is supposed to, the idea that he could get Georgia in a bit of a revenge game a week from today is pretty wild.
Just to give you some backstory on Carson Beck, he had a rough year last year. It really wasn't until the Tennessee game when he came in clutch in the second half after being down 10-0. This is his final season in Georgia, and then he gets hurt in the SEC game. And a year ago at this very site, Georgia fans wanted to forget about him. They wrapped their arms around Gunnar Stockton, even though Gunner and his team failed against Notre Dame. They were so glad Carson Beck was gone. And quite frankly, there's very little respect for him in spite of what he did for the program. And if it indeed ends up that way next week, I think he's got more to prove than anybody on that football field.
Do you think that this game last night will big picture serve as a catalyst for Miami now being not necessarily winning the national title this year because there's a long way before it, but in terms of them now being back, like, in the graces that they were 20 years ago?
Well, I mean, I think for young people, I don't think you can quite appreciate how great Miami was in the late 80s, into the 90s, when they had a chance for a three-peat, they had another chance 23 years ago. I don't think it's to that level, but I think Cristobal has built it. And I think because he had so many unbelievable, inexplicable game time decisions, it was easy not to pay attention and say they're not coming back, but I think they are. And that brand, not that I'm telling your audience anything they don't know, especially the older people, it's golden, and it's dangerous too, because once you let Miami start winning, and they are doing that right now, young players all over the country go, you know what, that's now the hot school. Why do I want to go to Georgia or Alabama or Michigan or Ohio State? I can go down to the U and be part of what was once one of the greatest traditions in college football history.
You're 100% right, which is why I always tell people up here that the schools, if the Big Ten is going to expand, the ones that have interest in the ACC are Miami and North Carolina, for the reasons that you just said on the Miami side of it. Let's go through the games today. I wish this Orange Bowl was not a noon game because I can't wait to see how this one plays out. It's Oregon and Texas Tech. Obviously, I'll be watching at noon, but Orange Bowl feels like a night game to me. The Big Ten still with two in this with Indiana and Oregon, but a massive test in this first one. What's kind of your read as you lean into this one at noon between Oregon and Tech?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little favorable toward Oregon. I still can't get the Indiana game out of my head, but I also think Dan Lanning went to school on that game. And he knows he has to protect Dante Moore better. He has to establish a little bit of a rush attack. He just can't allow 6 or 7 sacks and let Moore throw 2 interceptions. I do think Texas Tech is the most difficult team in the entire field, perhaps other than Alabama, to gauge, because I just don't know what they've accomplished this year. I know what they have, but I also know what they have against really inferior opposition.
Yeah, and that's what I think makes this one so fun. You mentioned Bama, obviously, in the Rose Bowl against Indiana. As tickets go, this one appears to be, although now, boy, so you can get in there for $71. That's a whole other conversation in terms of these bowls and whether there's an appetite for them or not. But this game is the one where Indiana, they've kind of stayed as a 7-point favorite throughout. Some people say if the uniforms were reversed, Indiana should be favored by 12.5. I think you're going to get whatever Bama's best is. What is kind of your read on that one at 4 o'clock out in Pasadena?
Yeah, I think the day after this thing hit the board, I was on Get Up or something, and I picked Alabama. So I'm one of those that you marry it, you're stuck with it. And Bo, I feel like I'm stuck with the Alabama pick. I understand the other side. But the one thing I do know, maybe better than anything else, is the mindset of Alabama. And it's really different. I'm going to tell you right now, Alabama fans do not respect Indiana. They don't think Indiana belongs on the stage that it is. And I know what people are saying when I say that. I'm just echoing the fan base. And I don't know if that really carries over. But I've seen Alabama in this spot, and so have you. So Alabama is not intimidated by Indiana. They really don't care. The problem is what Alabama team shows up. They played five of the worst quarters in a row I've ever seen. The fourth quarters in Atlanta for the SEC and the first quarter in Norman. That's a bad trend, and I know they pulled that game out, but that game was a little bit like what we saw last night. A couple of a pick six, a fleeky play here, and you're wondering how did we get to this point. So I think that's really the dilemma there. It's hard to have a lot of confidence in Alabama unless they get off to a fast start. And then I think you're going to start seeing maybe the deer in the headlights from Indiana. But if Indiana gets off to a good start, forget about it.
The game you are at down in New Orleans in the Superdome, it is Ole Miss and it is Georgia. One of the most absurd circumstances surrounding it. Before we get to the actual game, have you heard if your buddy Kiffin is going to this game? There are all of these he's got six assistants coaching at Ole Miss. Like, the portal opens, tampering allegations. Your boots on the ground down there. What is going on?
It's really, I missed a couple of things that you said because of my condition, but I'll give you the lay of the land of this game. It involves somebody who's not in the game, as you well know, and that's Lane Kiffin. He is going to be here at last check. That's what I was told. It could change. He's supposed to sit with the governor, Greg Landry. But one thing I can tell you with authority is that Ole Miss people do not want to see him. Players don't want to see him. The officials don't want to see him. And for those who think, well, they should have let Lane coach, there's not a single person on the Ole Miss side that wanted Lane Kiffin on the sideline. They just simply don't trust him. He's the X factor in this game. Can Charlie Weiss Jr. call the same type of game that they did in Athens a couple of months ago when don't forget, Ole Miss had a 9-point lead against Georgia late in that game?
Yeah. How do you see it going tonight, bud?
I can't go against Georgia. I just don't have enough faith in Ole Miss. This is the biggest stage they've ever been on, and I think it's too big for them.
Going to be a fun day for sure. Appreciate your time, and Happy New Year, buddy. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
Happy New Year, bud. See you soon.
All right, there he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and the SEC Network, joining us on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll hit a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Jake Diebler Show, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Jake, a big emphasis of the first half of the season has been the depth and bench scoring. How do you feel you can evaluate that now through 12 games?
I think it's an area we need to improve. You know, we need to get more consistency from our bench, and we need guys to come in aggressive. I think that's been the biggest challenge for us, as I noticed some guys maybe being a little hesitant on the offensive side. I think our defense has been good from our bench. I think, you know, the ball movement's been good, but we got to be ready to score, and we got to be aggressive. And it's something we've talked a lot about, and I expect our guys to really improve on.
Okay, we'll have another comment right after this.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the Never Afraid to Innovate teams and the Improve People's Lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
In competition for spots from your bench to your starting lineup, Amari Bynum's gotten the last two games for you. But a guy like Brandon Knoll, who's very capable as a starter, does a mentality change when you go to the bench knowing that full well you need his production?
Well, we absolutely need his production. And Brandon and I talked about, you know, maybe bringing him in off the bench while, you know, shifting our starting lineup around a little bit would create some space for him to be more aggressive. So we need him to be aggressive and productive, you know, for us coming off the bench. And we anticipate him, you know, kind of breaking through and settling into that here real well after the break.
Who else is capable of scoring for you off the bench to provide maybe some of that continuity?
Well, I think there's some potential in Tayson Chapman's game to provide some offensive punch for us when he checks in. You know, he's just got to be really consistent in some of those other areas, and he's got to be aggressive. I think the last couple games he checked in, he hasn't been aggressive enough offensively. So, you know, he and I have talked about that and expecting him to come out more aggressive next game.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota-thon is on, and it's the perfect time to wrap up the year with a new Toyota, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through January 5th, you can get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, you get Toyota Care 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint. And the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Child is sick. With those four words, the innocence and joy of childhood disappears. But Starlight has taught us four other words that make all the difference. The power of play. Happy kids heal faster. That's why Starlight Children's Foundation delivers happiness through gaming, toy deliveries, and more to hospitals across the country. Learn more at starlight.org.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
There are at least four soon-to-be former Ohio State quarterbacks in the transfer portal, or at least have announced transfer portal intentions when the portal opens tomorrow. CBS Sports is reporting that Lincoln Keenholz will enter his name into the portal again when that thing opens tomorrow. Aaron Norland's going portaling. Mason Maggs is going portaling. And then last night it was announced Devin Brown will hit the transfer portal again. Thing or not a thing?
Not a surprising thing for Lincoln. In regard to Air and Devin, it's one of those things where, and again, I think both of them should have transferred out, but you have to really trust that transfer. And you have to trust that you will get to play. Because I think Air Nolan went to South Carolina thinking Lenora Sellers is going to play for a year and then I got it. Well, Lenora Sellers didn't have the year that he thought he was going to have, and so he's back at, for another season at South Carolina. And now Aaron Nolan missed another season, so he's back in it. Devin Brown went to Cal to be the starting quarterback at Cal. And he was beat out by a freshman, highly regarded freshman, but nevertheless a freshman. He needs to go to a place where he can play. So my advice to Lincoln Keenholz, not that he wants it or is asking for it, but what I would say is, like, if it was my kid, I would say, you have to go to a place where you know you're starting. You know it. You have to trust the coaches. You have to trust the position coaches. You have to trust the school. You have got to go to a place where you can start. You can't go and sit somewhere and waste another year of eligibility. So I think the Kienholz decision, and by the way, the portal is stocked with quarterbacks, stocked. So where he lands is going to be fascinating to me. If you think about it, in recruiting, he was originally committed to Washington under Kalen DeBoer, honestly, was committed to Washington under Kalen DeBoer. So that's a place that there are some recruiting ties. He's got to find a place where he can be the starter, though. That's the job.
Yeah, I think with all those guys, except for Mason Maggs, you've got to find a place where you are going to get to play and play a lot. I think people immediately think Lincoln Kienholz and they think South Florida because of Brian Hartline. And I know that their quarterback has is entering the transfer portal as well. I kind of feel like if there's a former Buckeye that Hartline would target, and I don't know why. I think it's Aaron Nolan. I think Aaron Nolan's more of a kind of sit back there and sling it kind of guy. And I think that's the kind of offense that Brian Hartline would want to run. I think an interesting wild card for Lincoln Kienholz is Northwestern. Because Chip Kelly had a lot of success with Will Howard. Yeah. And Lincoln seems more like a Will Howard type of quarterback, a guy that can maybe not the best thrower of the football, but you keep working with his mechanics and it'll be pretty good. And a guy that you know is a tough-nosed runner and is going to go pick up a yard or two when you need it. I think Northwestern is very interesting for Lincoln.
I think Lincoln Kienholz was probably the best overall athlete on this campus. When you think about, because I think he could have played for the baseball team. We were with Ryan this summer and he said he turned himself in like 2 years into it. He's like a scratch golfer. Like, I'm not convinced he couldn't have played safety. Like, I think he's just that type of athlete.
So with Lincoln announcing he's going portaling, it looks like there are three Buckeyes that played this season that'll be going, Jelani Thurman and Bryson Rogers. The portal opens tomorrow. It's open through Friday, January. There'll be a lot, yeah. But for Friday, January 16th. Is the, again, single-time winter portal. After Duke hung on to beat Arizona State 42-39 in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, this Alabama fan on Reddit posted, Duke is the first ACC champion to win their bowl game since before COVID. The last win for the ACC champ came in 2019 with Clemson beating Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. Since then, 2019, Clemson, they lost to LSU in the national championship. In 2020, Clemson lost the Sugar Bowl to Ohio State. 2021, Pitt lost the Peach Bowl to Michigan State. 22, Clemson lost the Orange Bowl to Tennessee. 23, Florida State lost the Orange Bowl to Georgia, badly. 24, Clemson lost in the CFP first round to Texas. But in 2025, Duke beat Arizona State. Thing or not a thing?
Sort of. I think the real ACC champ just beat Ohio State last night. That's the bigger thing to crow about is if they just had some sort of common sense with their championship tiebreakers, Notre Dame would have been in this dance too. And so that's the thing is the ACC champs just beat Ohio State last night. So I'm going to let them have their day that they deserve. They were the better team and they deserve all the flowers that come with it.
Yeah, I don't think this is much of a thing. I'm not even sure, like, what is this Alabama fan posting and trying to say? Like, at first I thought he was trying to take a shot at Clemson and maybe saying Duke was on the verge of a slide like Clemson, although Duke was never in the stratosphere that Clemson was as a program. It's just interesting that an Alabama fan has posted this.
Well, I do think there's a couple good things that Reddit does provide, and it's these little factoids. But I think, while yes, he's an Alabama fan, I also think he's just a college football lover. And he's like, this is a very interesting fact. Like yesterday in the Las Vegas Bowl, Utah beat Nebraska 44-22. And I also saw that Nebraska's now lost 30 straight games to AP-ranked opponents.
Yeah.
And I thought, how is that possible? And I went on Reddit, and it was confirmed by lot of different people. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl was a fun game because it was chaotic. But I think the biggest thing was it was the final broadcast in the 36-year TV career of Gary Danielson. 17 of those were at CBS. He primarily called SEC games alongside Uncle Vern until Lundquist retired in 2016. He's been with Brad Nessler since. CBS cut off his goodbye address. Take a listen.
And everybody else. I wanted everybody else in this shot saying goodbye. It's been team all the way. Everything we've done.
A great camera crew.
Yes.
Guys, we're all wearing Gary stickers. There's the truck.
Thanks, you guys.
as Vern would have said, appreciate it all.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We are going to have a great time tonight. Oh, look at those guys. How are we going to get off there? Listen, one more thing. It's sometimes you can say, how do you get off this guy right here?
Join hosts.
Thing or not a thing.
Why do they do that?
Hard out.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. This is probably how the... did TV for a lot of years. This is how this happened. There's a producer in the truck. There's a director in the truck. They're giving a countdown to Brad and Gary saying, we got to be out. We got to be out. 10, 9, 8, 7. They're counting it down. 5, 4, 3. Out, 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 out. And they're ignoring it and blowing through it. And then finally they cut it. So my hunch is that while that awkwardly on air comes across as CBS cut off Gary Danielson, my guess is in his ear they were telling him stop talking and gave him you've done TV. Anytime they, if you have a minute left, they'll say a minute. You got a minute. And you know in your head, I've got a minute. Or they'll go 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. Like, it's in your head. I'm guessing that's what happened.
I think you're right, Bo, because we just played a part of that. There was like 3 minutes of this goodbye, and they were, yeah. You know, Gary
he
wanted
had a
to,
long time.
Gary wanted to bring everybody in, and they had like 20 people yeah. in the shot, and they were showing camera people and whatnot. I think if you're CBS, maybe plan for that a little better, give a little leeway, but they did go a long time. It's just it's a sad thing to me because we talked yesterday about Keith Jackson in that open of the 2002 National Championship game and how Keith Jackson is just like in the soundtrack of my youth. Well, Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson were there too. They were that 3:30 game on CBS that you always heard. And then Nestler, who has been around for so long, got paired with Danielson. And it's just one of those things, Bo, that reminds me that you and I and Reese are getting older because some of the legends that we grew up on are moving on.
I had to triple check that Uncle Vern's been retired since 2016. I'm like, no, he retired last season. I swear.
No, yeah. Nestler's done a nice job with that. Yeah, Danielson was with him from 05 to 16. Blackledge was actually the original SEC on CBS partner with Vern years before that. They had a great run. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he got time cues. I'm sorry. It sucks that it went that way, but I'm sure that they were given plenty of lead in terms of how much time was left.
Reese Vern did just retire last year. He was Happy Gilmore, too.
That's true. He was he's active until 2025.
All right, we got to beat the NFL house. Reese crushed it last time out. This is the final one of the year. We will do it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan.
Hey, Aaron.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how little you are, sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Happy New Year. I'm Eric Reeser. The season's over for Ohio State. Buckeyes were bounced by Miami 24-14 last night in the Cotton Bowl. Brian Hartline now moves on full-time to coach at South Florida, which leaves Ohio State in need of a wide receivers coach. The Athletic's Bruce Feldman is reporting that former LSU receivers coach Cortez Hankton will be hired by the Buckeyes for that same spot. The 44-year-old Hankton has previous stops at Georgia and Vanderbilt and has co-offensive coordinator and pass game coordinator on his resume. CBS Sports is reporting that backup quarterback Lincoln Keenholz will enter the transfer portal when it opens on Friday. He'll have 2 years of eligibility remaining. The college football playoff continues in 1 hour with the Orange Bowl quarterfinal. Texas Tech takes on Oregon in Miami. At 4 o'clock in Pasadena, it's the Rose Bowl with Indiana and Alabama. And tonight in New Orleans, Georgia has Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. In college hoops, Ohio State heads to Rutgers tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You can hear that one on The Fan with coverage at 7 right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
After putting up with Tom Tabberi for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Obviously, still a lot to react to in regard to what happened last night down in Dallas. You'll hear from Coach Day, Caleb, Sonny, Tim May going to join us coming up in about 29 minutes from now. It is a Thursday, though, and it is the final week of the NFL regular season. And so first, we must beat the house. Hit it, fellas.
The House. Sponsored by Tipico Sportsbook.
I'm going to tell you this right now, before we even get into this. This is your Uncle Bo speaking. Stay away from this. Stay away from this weekend. Like, you don't know who's trying, who's not. These lines are crazy. They are nuts. I mean, they make no sense. Some of these make no sense. And you have to remember, like, who's playing, who's not. Who's motivated, who's not. All of those things are factors in this one. There are really three games that are both teams really care. And in one of them, the line makes no sense to me at all. So I say all of that, and now we can begin. Go ahead, Big.
So you guys did not participate last week since you were both out for the holiday. Bo, you're 126-14 entering week 18. And Reese, you have had a hell of a comeback here. 13-3 the last time you picked, getting yourself back to 500 at 120-120. Tim May and Jacob Reimer filled in for you guys. They both did admirably. Tim May was 9-7. Rhyme Time was 10-6. The games start on Saturday, and Bo, I hate to do this to you right away, but it's the first one. The Carolina Panthers down in Tampa to take on Baker and the Bucks with the NFC South on the line, maybe, depending on what the Falcons do the next day. The Bucks are 2.5-point home favorites.
Let me say this. I don't think that the NFL should be playing these games on Saturday. Like, you don't need to do this. Just play these games on Sunday. You don't need this at 4:30. Your Sunday slate is garbage in large part because of it. This was supposed to be winning you're in, and it's not now. Carolina has two chances. I'm going to tell you right now how this is going to go because I know how the football gods hate me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to beat the Carolina Panthers, and then the Atlanta Falcons are going to beat the New Orleans Saints. That's how it's going to happen. And the Carolina Panthers are going to backdoor their way in because then I'm going to have to sit through two games that I don't care about. And that's just the way that it's going to go. So I think Tampa Bay wins this game. And I think it's a one-pointer, though. I like Tampa Bay winning this one 30-29 because that's just the way my luck's going to go.
Keep pounding. Taking the Panthers.
At 8 o'clock that night, the number one seed in the NFC is on the line. The Seattle Seahawks down in San Francisco to take on the 49ers. The Niners, home dogs, 1.5.
Well, actually, Baker, because I was in Napa last week, they play in San Jose. Give me the Niners here.
This is the one I was talking about. Why is San Francisco a home dog? Why? They boat raced everybody. And they're underdogs at home? This is the one where when I see this, I go, well, clearly Seattle's going to win. Clearly. I mean, there's no doubt that Seattle's going to win the game based on this line. But at the same time, am I to go? I'm not going against Kyle Shanahan at home with the number one seed on the line and an ability to play every game the rest of the way at your home stadium. So I'll take the Niners and I'll take the 1.5. But it makes no sense.
Let's switch it to Sunday. The Battle of Ohio at 1. The Cleveland Browns driving down I-71 South to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, they have to throw a hook on this one. The Bengals favored by 7.5.
I think Miles gets the sack record. I think that happens. I think Joe's going to have fun playing football. I think Miles will get it against Joe. He sacked him a lot through the years, and I'm guessing that happens again. I also think this is a little closer than 7.5. The Browns have played hard during the Shedeur Sanders run here, and I think that continues. I think Cincinnati probably ends up winning the game, but I think it's closer than 7.5, so give me the points.
This might turn out to be a fun Sunday for both teams, strangely enough, because I think the Bengals win, so they feel good about the latter part of the season despite not making the playoffs. I think Myles Garrett gets the sack record. And I think if you're a Cleveland fan and you want to bet the 7.5, I think you'd be fine because Cincinnati does win. But yeah, I think the Browns cover. That's a win, right?
I think that would be, yeah.
The New Orleans Saints in Atlanta taking on the Falcons, who can ruin Bo's world. -3. Home favorites, the Atlanta Falcons, Reese.
No, this screams the Saints win. To me, at least, with the way they looked last week in Atlanta against the Rams. It's like, this is the come. And New Orleans has been pretty plucky. I don't know if that's the right word.
No more. Yeah. I mean, they got a quarterback.
Really good, Tyler actually. Yeah.
Tyler Shuck's been really good. Atlanta's playing hard. I don't know why. I don't know why they're playing hard. They have no business playing hard, but they are. And I think they continue to do so. I think they do get the win in this one, and I'll throw the 3.
The Green Bay Packers up in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The Vikings, 7-point home favorites.
Okay. So, again, is obviously Love's not playing.
I don't know if anybody's playing for the Packers.
But is Malik Willis? Like, this is Brosmer.
This is, oh, Brosmer on the Vikings.
Yes.
Willis is playing for another job.
Well, Willis will get another job. He looks great. But, like, is Willis not playing either? Are they just... I have no idea. I have no idea. I'll take the Packers to cover the 7. I have no idea what's going on.
I agree with you. That's all I know about this thing.
No idea.
That if Green Bay, if they lose, it won't be more than a touchdown.
That is one of those lines that is so out there, it's almost a what does Vegas know?
That's how I feel about the Seattle
one.
I'm
sure Green Bay is just not playing anybody. They
probably.
Can't be.
Why is Seattle favored at San Francisco?
I mean, at least both of them are good teams.
Right, but San Francisco's been lights out. Why are they favored? It's at home.
The Dallas Cowboys taking on the New York Giants in the Big Apple. The Cowboys are the favorites on the road, 3.5.
Yeah, I flipped a coin for this one. Give me Dallas.
Same. No, I haven't. I assume that Dak's going to try.
That's another one that I just want to feel good going into another offseason where they'll probably win the Super Bowl in the offseason.
Yeah.
Big number in this one. The Jaguars have a lot on the line. I believe they can not only... If they win, they win the AFC South, but they still have an outside shot at the number one seed in the AFC, I believe. The Tennessee Titans in Jacksonville, 12.5-point favorites are the Jags.
Is this one me?
That's you, Bo.
Yeah, I'll just go Tennessee to cover. I'll just take the points.
I think, Baker, to all the points that you just made, Jacksonville pours it on the Titans. Yeah, give me the Jags and the 12.5.
The Houston Texans, they're also trying to win the AFC South. They're hosting the Indianapolis Colts, and the Texans are the home favorite, 10.5.
Is it Lincoln Riley Leonard at quarterback?
It is, yeah.
For the Colts, give me the Texans.
Same. Their defense will suffocate him. I don't think he's got the arm strength to drive it down the field. So, yeah, I think it'll be a long day.
The New York Jets are up in Buffalo to take on the Bills. The final game at, what is it, Highmark Stadium now? Is that the name
right.
of
They're
it?
Yeah,
former Ralph
yeah.
Wilson.
The Bills going to be wearing the throwbacks with the red helmets. I like that. The Bills also favored by 7.
Yeah, not enough. I mean, New York might be. Are we sure Aaron Glenn's going to get another year, by the way? I mean, this has gone about as bad as it could go.
Yeah, Buffalo rolls this one. This will be fun to watch because it'll be emotional for Buffalo with their last game there. And they're trying to round into a form. Well, they're trying to bounce back and round into form at the same time.
Yeah.
In an NFC North battle, the Detroit Lions head to Chicago to take on the Bears. The Bears favored by a field goal.
So I assume everybody's playing for Chicago. I don't even know if this is me or you. I would assume that the Bears are playing everybody and the Bears have something to play for.
Yeah, the number one seed in the NFC.
They can. Well, no, they can't get that.
No, they're eliminated from that.
Yep. Yeah, so they'll either be the 2 or the 3. So I guess that's why the number is what it is. I'll throw the points. Give me Chicago.
Yeah, give me Chicago as well.
All right. right? A lot of similarities this week, guys. A lot of similarities.
Again, stay away from all of this. This is ridiculous to try to do this.
The Los Angeles Chargers and Trey Lance heading to the Mile High City to take on the Denver Broncos. The Broncos, 12.5-point home favorites.
This you or me?
This one's you, buddy.
Okay.
Go Chargers, go!
I'll just go Denver. I have no idea. They're playing for the one seed. I assume they try.
I just wanted to, for the last time, play that soundbite. I don't care.
I still have no clue who the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs is, but they're favored by 5.5 in Vegas against the Raiders.
It's the Aduken dude, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like Turducken or whatever. I feel like it's John Madden. Yeah.
Who's playing for the Raiders? We know Max Crosby isn't. Like, neither one of these teams want to win at all. At all. I guess I'll just take the points. I'll take the Raiders and the points. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm doing the exact same thing because I don't know. And I won't be watching.
If that does happen, the Chiefs picking inside the top 10, that'll be weird. Really weird at the NFL draft. The Arizona Cardinals taking on Bo's Los Angeles Rams. The Rams, 7.5-point home favorites.
That tells me that they're playing for something.
That's
even
what
even if they give it to Stetson Bennett, I still think that they'll handle Arizona. So I'll throw the points with the Rams.
I'll do the exact same thing.
The Miami Dolphins heading north to Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots. The Patriots, 10.5-point home favorites, Reese.
I think they're New England. I think Mike Vrabel, who I think is going to be 51, is going to use this game as a reason to, hey, let's ignore what's kind of going on outside of the facility and just crush the Dolphins.
I think he could try to do that, but I think yours has played okay, and the Dolphins have been playing hard. I think this is going to be a little bit of a knock at the back door from Quinn Ewers with his kombucha, and this one ends up being about a 10-point Patriots win. The hook brings me back here. Give me the Dolphins, and I'll take the points.
The Washington Commanders in Philly taking on the Eagles. The Eagles, 4.5-point favorites, Bo.
Is this Josh Johnson against who? What are we doing? Nobody knows. Again, folks, don't get into this. Stay out of this mess. I'll go Washington to cover. Give me the points. I have no idea. I'm going cross-eyed.
I'll take the Eagles.
I like that. When in doubt, go opposite. Uh-huh. And then the Sunday night football game, the AFC North is on the line. The Ravens, 3.5-point favorites on the road in Pittsburgh.
Can we do this game Saturday morning or Saturday when Lamar's status is confirmed? It's in Pittsburgh. DK Metcalf back?
No, he's not.
No? Okay. Give me the Ravens.
Yeah, I just saw Pittsburgh firsthand, and I don't know what they think that they can do offensively. The only thing that gives me any pause is just the hook. Like, the Ravens winning by a field goal is the only thing that gives me any pause. But I'll take Baltimore, and I'll throw the 3.5. And by the way, listen to none of that. I mean it, folks. Even if I get lucky, and Reese, I'm sure I think I can speak for you. Even if you get lucky and do better than expected on that, it was not out of any sort of knowledge. Like, that's just...
At this point, I would hope you've listened to this program long enough to not go off of our gambling picks. Not necessarily saying fade us, but just go with your own guts.
These aren't even educated guesses. Is that what we're saying?
I flipped a coin, Baker.
This is crazy. You don't know who's playing or who's not. You don't know anything. I mean, it's a total mess. The house is going to win quite bigly is kind of the way I see this one all shaken out. We'll get back to the Cotton Bowl. Hear from Coach Day, hear from Sonny and Caleb. Man, we're going to miss seeing those guys play. Get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Would you enjoy?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home. Safe at school and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together. All of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund. Because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
Common Man and Timmy, they're good, clean boys. If you enjoy a radio show hosted by immature men with slightly above average sports knowledge, they've got you covered.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
As a teacher or coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
Hello. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Probably the mostly cloudy skies are expected here for your New Year's Day with high temperatures into the 20s here this afternoon. We are looking at the chance for a few flurries, but otherwise pretty quiet conditions here for today. And then more sunshine for tomorrow with high temperatures back to the lower 30s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. If you love a good pie analogy.
Think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Tim May coming up in about 11 minutes from down in Dallas, reflecting on the Buckeye loss in the Cotton Bowl last night to Miami. Some news around the college football world already trickling out on this New Year's Day. Cortez Hankin, according to multiple reports, will be hired by Ohio State as the next wide receiver coach, replacing Brian Hartline. The reporting does not suggest if he is being brought in here as a offensive coordinator or a co-offensive coordinator. He was the co-coordinator at LSU last year, passing game coordinator before that. Before his time in the Bayou, he was in Athens, the Georgia variety on Kirby Smart's staff, coaching wide receivers there. So multiple reports that that is happening. So far in the portal, Lincoln Kienholz to the portal, Jelani Thurman to the portal, and then Bryson Rogers was a couple of weeks ago, so he was in the portal as well. One other note around college football, I did see the Michigan is hiring Jason Beck to be its offensive coordinator. So he is currently the offensive coordinator at Utah. He is following Kyle Whittingham to Michigan to be the offensive coordinator there. So those are some notes around the college football world, some Buckeye related, some Michigan related, as we lick our wounds from a loss last night to the Canes. Ryan Day was asked how the first half failures affected the evaluation of the coaching staff. Here was his answer to that.
Yeah, well, just fresh off the game, so, got to evaluate it all. But, early on, I felt like, we had a hard time. Gabe was struggling a little bit early on with his first, big spot there. And we were scrambling a little bit. We lost Austin. And they have an excellent front. I thought the guys, battled and got back into a rhythm, but, I thought we had a good plan going in on how to get the ball out of our hands quick. But that obviously didn't work. We took, five sacks and we gotta, get back to it and figure out, where we're going to go moving forward. But, we got to sit down and evaluate all of it.
Can you imagine, we're doing this here because we continue to do this show in Columbus, Ohio, thankfully. But can you imagine? I mean, everybody's doing that right now. What you'd like to do, having just lost in a quarterfinal like that, is just push away from the table, unplug, kind of reflect, have a few moments. College football in 2025 and now 2026 does not allow for that. doesn't. The portal opens tomorrow, and your roster is going to be pillaged. You need to pillage some rosters because you need reinforcements coming back in. And so they're, I'm sure they're working. I'm sure they're in the office. I'm sure they're, if they're back here already, my guess is they probably already are, that they're going to work and putting this roster together. And that's the perpetual nature of where this sport is, that it's not very livable, to say the least, but this is the business that they've chosen. There's a ton of melancholy to all of this. And one of the things that I think is going to stink the most here in the coming days and weeks is, you know, next Thursday, when Miami is likely playing Georgia, or if it is Ole Miss, either way, and they're out in the Fiesta Bowl, and you're thinking to yourself, that would be a sea of scarlet and gray. And you'd see number two down there, and you'd see the Block O number and Sonny down there, and you'd see these guys who we've watched through all of these great moments. And unfortunately, that all comes to an end. Caleb Downs, who was sensational. A two-year career, the stuff of legend for Caleb Downs here at Ohio State. And I don't know, you cannot replace him. You do not replace him. There's nobody like him. What he was asked to do consistently for this defense is such a tall order, and only his elite combination of athleticism and acumen allow for it. He was sensational last night in the game, flying around like a missile everywhere. He was asked post-game about missing out on the chance to go back-to-back.
At the end of the day, we didn't execute the way that we needed to win the game, and that's what it is, and we can't change it now. So, yeah, I mean, go from here.
He did his job, and he will be missed tremendously. We'll also miss Sonny Styles, a legacy, of course. So many great moments with him and Lorenzo Jr. the last couple of years. Imagine being able to play with your brother, like close out your career with your brother. Such a cool thing. Sonny was reflecting on his Ohio State career last night.
Yeah, the time flies for sure. Kind of just being on that field, just thinking about coming in here as a 17-year-old freshman and now leaving here, and then obviously didn't go out the way you want to finish, but it is what it is. You guys have gratitude for the time here and the great moments we did have and the things we did achieve, and just appreciate it all and move on.
What would you tell 17-year-old Sonny Styles, the safety, about what his college career was going to look like?
Oh, man, a lot of ups and downs, but I think the best part of it was the company, people. And all the teammates, all the coaches, the brotherhood, growing together as just brothers in general. I think that was the best part of it.
Man, I tell you, as he's talking there and you think about, you know, what a leader he was, and these will be conversations we have in the spring and we have over the next month, but like, how do you replace this type of leadership? How do you replace, you hear what he said there at the end? It's the brotherhood, the company. Who's going to be the one to make sure that stays the same? Like in the linebacker room, is that Peyton Pierce? Is it Riley Pettijohn? Like what does that look like? In the safety room, obviously physically you can't replace Caleb Downs. There's nobody like him, but someone's going to have to play safety. And who is that? And will they be asked to do even the vicinity of what Caleb Downs was asked to do? That's the other thing that sucks, is it all ends so abruptly when you lose a game like that. All of a sudden it's over and you start contemplating the finality of it, and the inability now to see those two kids ever suit up in scarlet and gray again, and that part really sucks.
I mean, for those guys, it's almost like you can't wait around too much to spend. I don't know how much time you can spend with the guys, because you got to go prepare for the NFL draft and NFL talent evaluations, and I don't know how quickly that turnaround looks like.
Those two don't need to do much.
No, probably not.
Like, but Caleb will be the first safety, the first secondary player off the board, and he'll go in the top 10. Sonny will be a first round pick.
But I think like the biggest loss for this is just the leadership vacuum and the command on the field that those two had, and especially Caleb, as he's yelling at everybody in their assignments at different times in the season. And like you talked last night, I mean, he got a ball on the ground and it bounced twice back up into Tony's hands. And you know, how often does those kind of players rarely come around? And yeah, it stinks when it's over for them. He'll be great in the NFL, but player wise, it's gonna have to be a couple of guys to step up to fill his kind of production and leadership.
I think it's one of those things that makes college sports so great, is you have this roster turnover every year and guys going on to the NFL, and you just don't know what every season's going to bring. We had these same kind of questions last year with this team. Maybe not as much because you had Sonny and Caleb. So you knew you were okay on the defensive side of the ball with those two, but you're replacing eight starters, and you replaced a lot of guys off of that team. Jack, JT, Emeka.
Denzel,
that played so much football for you and were leaders. And on the offensive side of the ball, I don't think you're going to have the questions next year. As far as leadership, you're going to have Julian. You're going to have Jeremiah. If a Carson Hensman comes back, if a Austin Sarveld comes back, don't know what those two will do. A Luke Montgomery, though, I would think would be in that leadership role. On the defensive side, you would have to think it's going to be a Jermaine Matthews. But who else? You've got Peyton Pierce.
He looks like he's ready to eat. But this is the thing, though. And this is why, even though they lost eight starters on defense, I thought they're going to be okay. Because they had two, they had Sonny, and they had Arvell. And I knew how threes felt about those two linebackers, and everybody knows what Caleb is. So it was like, despite losing all of that, you still have the best defensive player in football. And he covers up a lot. Well, he's unfortunately gone now. How did we all get this so wrong? Tim May joined us in those getting things wrong yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on it in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to fund a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, the thing that's going to be, and Tim May will join us here momentarily, the thing that's going to be very difficult around here is you're going to have to listen to this until next season, until you go down to Austin and get a chance to kind of wipe the slate clean of it a little bit. Tim joining us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, of course, the Tim May Show with Clay Hall on FanStreamSports.com and right here at The Fan. How did we get this so wrong, buddy?
I underestimated the Miami defensive front. I'm thinking back to our conversation the day before the game, et cetera. And we're sitting here. My buddy Clay Hall is back in Columbus, but my buddy Jeff Snook sitting here next to me at the Fan Stream Sports studio here in Dallas where we're recording our podcast. And that's what we're talking about. I mean, it was just one of those games where Ohio State, and the pick six was huge. The pick six changed the dynamic of the game. We were just discussing that ourselves. And because now instead of a 7-0, you're 14-0 hole. And you know you're not going to consistently block that defensive front. You already know that, you know, halfway through the first quarter, what's up. But the point is, Bo, they got it to 17-14. I mean, and they got the ball. And then there was another big sack, but also the holding call on that one possession, you know, against Philip Daniels. I don't know how legit it was. My middle kid Corey says it was BS, but he was pretty heart sick at that point. But then when they get the ball back and then you can't get off the field on third down, they converted a couple of third downs that were huge. They even lost Mark Fletcher on that drive, you know, and a guy named Marty Brown. Who? You know, we're all sitting there, who's Marty Brown? but Carson Beck had these little saving, drive-saving scrambles a couple of three times, which I didn't see that part of it coming either. I don't know about you. And it is what it is at this point. You know, they let them score that last touchdown. They tried to with the hopes of getting the ball back and doing something, right? But it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, the
I mean, Ohio State
it was the Indiana game, Tim.
But that don't matter.
It was the Indiana game all over again. Like your margin for error because of the way that they've played all year, which is to, you know, I mean, they take 30 seconds off the play clock before they get to the line of scrimmage and go. Like they've They've milked the clock. They've taken the air out of the ball, however you want to phrase it. And in an effort, because you're going to play 16 games and you're trying to limit the amount of plays that guys get so that you can be healthy for this time of year. But they never adjusted. We all know that Miami doesn't really rotate their defensive line much. There was never tempo, wasn't really used. Now, of course, in order to have tempo, you got to have first downs. But Tim, they only got the ball three times in the second half. I mean, when you're down 14, Miami, there's no margin for error.
Miami did have a couple guys go out on a couple of those drives when Ohio State was using was kind of driving. You know what I mean? They had to be helped to the sideline, if you follow my drift. So there was there was some wear and tear there. But here's the thing: I can probably name you three plays in the game flips. I mean, that sounds cool. But that's the way these games always are. I mean, you got to make the play when it happens, and their sacks were so timely. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, and it always left even their pass rush. Forget about sacks, but their pass rush made it a frenetic night for Julian Sayin to just to keep his feet under him and find somebody. But there was just that game was so herky jerky in a lot of respects. Because all of a sudden, they come out in the second half, you go, oh, they rediscovered Jeremiah Smith. Mm-hmm. They're throwing the ball to Jeremiah Smith again, But then you look at but I'm telling you, I always go back to that pick six. It's not blaming anybody. My buddy Jeff Snook, his son Deej, man, he kind of like looked at the way Jeremiah Smith whiffed on the possible block of the guy that actually made the pick. And because you can block on that play, obviously. It's a wide screen. But it was telegraphed. As I tweeted, it was telegraphed so blatantly that it was coming. I've been waiting all year for somebody to jump that. I've been waiting all year for Ohio State to jump one of those,
I this hate that play. I've always hated that play.
The game.
I hate throwing it all the way to the damn sideline, 20 yards.
I hate it.
I can't stand those plays. I can't stand them. You got to give the credit to Miami. Yep. The kid read it and he jumped it. Explaining to people, that's not one of those ones where Julian he's not reading anything. He's getting the ball in his hand as quick as he can. He's just throwing it out to the left. He's not reading anything. Right. The read happens with the play call.
Right. Or you've got to block the guys coming too. Yes. I mean, if I change one play in that game, it would be that play. And of course, Jane Fielding misses another big field goal. And by big, I mean, could have given them a little bit of an up going into halftime. And then their kid makes a 49-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. And, that's kind of the difference until the last touchdown. So,
Tim, it's all cliche stuff, but they're cliches for a reason. Special teams,
right.
Third downs,
right.
Turnovers. Miami won every single one of those.
Right. The illegal formation on the punt, they show the 10, they get it to 30, and then boom, they basically eat the clock up.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of conversation about where we go from here, but this is a season that they spent most of the year ranked number one. They beat Michigan, which is something they hadn't done in a while. That matters a great deal. But these last two games are going to linger in the – obviously, Miami's approach was different to Indiana in terms of what they did, but the feel of the two games felt very similar to me, Tim. And the idea was that when talent equated, Ohio State in both of those instances couldn't hold up in the lines of scrimmage.
Well, as I said on Channel 10, I don't know if it's run yet or not. Maybe it's run Sunday, but in the two games against the two best teams they played this year, they weren't good enough. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to swallow, but they weren't good enough. And by that, I mean, not good enough doesn't mean you don't have the talent. Doesn't mean you don't have a scheme or whatever you want to call it. Not good enough means you didn't make the plays. You had to make to win those games. It always comes to it's like in a boxing match. I was using that analogy the other day. You got to land those punches, man. Buster Douglas, when he beat, I'm not equating this to that, but Buster Douglas was so accurate with his jab against Mike Tyson. He wasn't just throwing jabs; he was landing them. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, body blows.
In games like this, when you have the opportunity to make a play, you've got to make those plays offensively and defensively. And we saw, like I said, when you've got the lead, the old Bobby Bowden line, when you got the lead, if the other team doesn't score, you win, right? and he's right. Basic fundamental, cliche stuff is actually true. That's why it's a cliche.
You know, we're 12 hours after this thing ended, and I'm not going to hold you to this, but how will you remember the 2025 Buckeyes?
You know, it's probably the team it was probably the season and the team we should have anticipated. But when you go 12-0 in the regular season, you think you got something special going on. But when you looked at it, when you replaced 8 starters on defense, Richard, freshman first-year starting quarterback, new running backs, and the offensive line being a little bit of a question mark. I think you agree, right?
Yes.
All year in terms of when they played decent competition, maybe they turned out to be the team that we should have anticipated final record-wise. But this is going to – when you lose your last two games of the year, first with a championship on the line and then with a chance to play for a championship down the line, that does not sit well, because how many opportunities in life do you get to be on a team that's undefeated and then gets bushwhacked twice? I mean, you have a chance to win championships and you don't get it done. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be a team that in the final analysis, you're going to look back and say underachieved. And that's the worst kind of feeling you can have, because in the two games that mattered, they couldn't make the plays that made the difference.
Yeah, and I mean, and this will be part of longer conversations over the next few weeks, but there's going to be conversations about, did this schedule prepare them for what was to come? Was it a false sense of security? Did it allow them to play a way that wasn't going to work when talent equated? You know what I mean?
The schedule, though, is the schedule, meaning that's set by the Big Ten. You know,
yeah,
they did play Texas.
No, I know. My point wasn't that. I understand the schedule is the schedule. What I'm saying is the style of play that they were allowed to play because of the schedule, did it allow them to have another gear when the talent equated? And I don't know how you quantify that.
Yeah, I don't know how you do either, because Ryan Day would be the first to tell you that you try to get out of every practice, every week, every game, something that you can put in the stockpile to get ready for what's coming, because what's coming is a hell of a lot bigger climb than what you've just been on. But, you know, do players always buy into that? You know what I mean? Do they it's so weird, because you're used to fighting your brother. And then you're fighting the bully from down the street who doesn't care about you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a different fight, you know, because that guy will claw your eyeballs out. Your brother will stop short of that. And so that's really it. I mean, just you got to have that little bitty edge that they didn't have against Indiana and didn't have against Miami. I mean, I thought they came out playing hard, but, you know, sometimes that's not good enough, and it's really tough. I mean, you know, like I said, maybe I overestimated this team a little bit, because you had to look at the offensive line was going to have some challenges against Miami. I told you the day before the game, or yesterday, whenever it was we talked, that I wanted to watch that matchup. That was going to tell me how this game was going to go. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted middle of the first quarter, these guys are better than I thought they were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were.
Dude, when you have an advantage up front, it changes the whole dynamic of the game. Forget about who you've got at cornerback and linebacker. When you got Reuben Bain lining up 5 yards off the ball and running like a sprint at Julian Sayin, even if he doesn't get to him, he makes Julian Sayin move. Mm-hmm. You're getting something done.
Yeah. Hey, happy new year to you. Give my best to Snook as well if he's there. And we'll do it again soon. Safe travels back, buddy.
It's always a pleasure. You know that, brother. I'm about to go see my baby brother here in about 3 hours. So
he's 68.
Tony, he's 68. I love that line. But anyway, I guess nobody's laughing today, but I am. All right.
Oh, we can laugh a little. All right, buddy. We'll see you. He was just giving it hell yeah. Tim May joining on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Yeah, I think we're kind of all in a similar boat. We'll get you three things on a Thursday coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Ryan Day Daily Show brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass. The Buckeye season comes to an end with a 24-14 loss to Miami. Jim Lachey, certainly it was a game in which Ohio State got behind early, and that really kind of set the tone.
And kind of a tale of two halves. First half, it was, you know, sloppy. Couldn't convert on third downs, giving up sacks. And then defensively, you know, they allowed Miami to kind of control the pace. So they were able to run the football effectively, able to pass the football. So they had both things working for them. But in the second half, the third quarter, you think, okay, maybe we're going to get this thing figured out, because they certainly put together two great scoring drives. You know, again, these guys fought hard. They just got to have better technique and execute on plays offensively and defensively. They want to get this win.
All right, another comment coming in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Ohio State falls to Miami 24-14. Jim Lachey, certainly a lot of good things happened this year and a lot of work for this football team to engage in moving forward.
Exactly. You know, we found a quarterback, right? Julian Sain. I think he had a fantastic year, and the rest of the country agreed with some of the awards that he had at the end of the year. It's rare that we get a quarterback to come back to back after having a great year. Will Howard did a fantastic job for us last year, but they end up losing two ball games, and the last two ball games of the year make it tough. Last year they lost two games, but one was to Oregon, one was to Michigan, and then they found a way to put it together throughout the playoffs. This year is a little bit different. You lose your final two games, so it kind of leaves a little bit of a sore spot in everybody's mind. But I think Matt Patricia, you know, coming with his defense, really put him together. But there's going to be some guys on that defensive side that you're going to have to replace. And then on the offensive side, coaching-wise, you're going to have to find a new coordinator, somebody to step up. And, you know, there's probably some other coaches that might have some other opportunities. So Ryan Day will have a chance to evaluate that. And, of course, acquiring players. You know, that's always going to be important when the portal opens up. They did a heck of a job recruiting throughout the course of the year, but now they'll have to, you know, find some key veteran players to see if they can add to the mix for the 2026 year.
It's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on, and it's the perfect time to wrap up the year with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 RAV4 or RAV4 Hybrid. Or lease a new gas-powered RAV4 LE for $279 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, it's Anthony.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Open Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube.
What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what are you on the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, how are you feeling today following Ohio State's loss last night to Miami in the Cotton Bowl? Your options are depressed, ticked off, drunk slash hungover, all of the above. 35% say they're ticked off, 30% say they're depressed, 30% say all of the above, just 4% say they are drunk or hungover.
Yeah, I could do without ever seeing games on New Year's Eve again. That'd be fine. As far as I'm concerned, I don't need to see those anymore.
I feel like that drunk and hungover is kind of real, and I didn't even have a drop of alcohol last night. Like, I'm still just in shock. Like, I'm kind of numb. I can't believe it happened.
Oh, I know. I can't either. No, it all did. There's gonna be a lot of time to reflect on all of it. Let's hit three things on a Thursday.
Three things.
Sponsored by Buckeye Lake Marina, Central Ohio's largest selection of new and pre-owned boats. Find your next dream boat at BuckeyeLakeMarina.com.
Number one for me, I love doing this show in this town, primarily talking about that program. And the biggest reason for that is the absurd standard that we hold them to, and they welcome you holding them to. By most programs' measures, this season would have a level of success. You had a Heisman finalist. You beat the rival. You spent most of the year ranked number one in the country. You provided an incredible moment at the start of the season, beating Texas at home. But you lost the last two. And around here, that leaves an incredibly bitter taste. But there's a privilege that comes with talking about that program and rooting for that program and a standard. And I'm thankful to be able to do it because it's fun. It's fun to hold something to that type of standard. There's not almost anything else in this state that we hold to the standard that you hold the Buckeyes to, and I'm thankful to be able to do it.
Yeah, and I'll kind of piggyback off of that a little bit just to, you know, I'm going to enjoy today and watching the three quarterfinal games and the rest of the college football playoff. This is the best sport. And things like the Pop-Tart Bowl, things like New Year's Eve, Ohio State, Miami, yeah. Things like what you'll see today. And they are doing the parade in Pasadena. Everybody's covered in water. And it's so silly. What I wanted to ask you to, and this is, I'm a very online person, and I avoided spoilers for the finale of Stranger Things. I'm not going to watch it today because there is so much college football. I probably won't watch it tomorrow. If I try to wait till the weekend, how likely do you think I am to avoid spoilers?
Are you going to be on social?
Yeah.
Then no, you can't. If you care about it, I think you need to watch it as soon as you can.
I can tell you I haven't seen anything about it.
I haven't either.
I don't follow anything that would talk about it, I guess. So, I don't know. I want to piggyback just the things that you guys first said there. You have to have these moments, right, to enjoy the highs. Mm-hmm. I think. It's just like, we talked about this before. I wouldn't have enjoyed the run that Ohio State beating Michigan throughout the 2000s. Without the 90s. I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much without that. And I wouldn't have enjoyed the win over Michigan this year as much probably without the last four. So as much as this sucks, Ohio State's going to be back. They're going to be in this position almost every year in this expanded playoff. Yeah. And when Ohio State wins another one, losses like this are going to make me appreciate that next one even more.
Yeah, and the ability to hold them to that level is what makes it all so fun. Is that number two for me? I got to pick a team here because I'm going to watch these games. I love this sport more than anything. I got to pick a team. My gut feeling right now is I'm going to take the winner of Oregon Tech. Like whoever wins that game, I think is going to have my rooting interest going forward. The winner of that game. If it's Tech, then my God, there's no bigger upsetting of the apple cart than a billionaire guy buying a roster and winning a national title. And Oregon's been knocking on this door. I like how Lanning goes about his business. So those are the winner of that is kind of my gut right now and how I'm going to go.
Not Coach Sig?
No.
It's a shocker.
I can't live in a world where they win a national title. I can't.
As of 11?
There's nothing I want to do in Indiana.
So it's either,
No.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a scenario that would get you to root for Indiana, and I don't think I can.
I don't know. Against Georgia?
Yeah.
I guess.
As of 11:48 this morning, last time I checked, there were 93 portal-bound quarterbacks.
Jeez.
That's according to 24/7 Sports. Portal doesn't open until Friday morning.
That's what I was saying. Like, they have to be so smart on where they'll go.
I wonder how many of those end up starting next year or at any point in their career.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see. Second thing for me, I usually don't love things Brett McMurphy puts out, but he tweeted this about 40 minutes ago. Top four seeds with first round buys outscored 42-3 in the first quarter of quarterfinal playoff games. None of the top four seeds have won. Halftime deficits for the top seeds. Ohio State 14-0 down against Miami. Then last year, Texas was down to Arizona State 17, or Arizona State was down 17-3 to Texas. Georgia 13-3 to Notre Dame. Boise State 17-7 to Penn State, and Oregon 34-8 versus Ohio State. I don't want to say that was it for Ohio State last night because that's disrespectful to Miami and the performance they put on. I'm very interested to see how these three games today go.
Me too. And we're up against it, so we'll make that the collective three from all of us. Enjoy the games today. Happy New Year to all of you out there listening. We never take it for granted, the ability that that you have to turn us on, and we're very thankful for it. Rothman and Ice coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Picture it. I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FIRST.